OTPHJ. Over the pants hand jump.
Over the pants hand jump.
Did you just make that up?
No, I was just waiting for the right fucking time.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This is now where it's official.
Oh. It's happening.
Yeah, I said it. It sounds professional. Someone said I have, who said I have a radio voice? Oh, Donald. Yeah. Cowboy was like, you got a radio voice. Now it's your radio
Donald
voice.
Cowboy?
Donald Cowboy Cerrone. He's a guy who fights in the UFC.
Awesome.
And he was here for the podcast the other day, and he said, he accused me of having a radio voice. Now I think about it. Fuck, do I?
You have a delicate voice.
Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, it's soothing.
I think that's a compliment.
Well, I recognize that the instrument has a bunch of different sounds that it can make. What is one of the reasons why I appreciate music. I appreciate music. I mean, I've told you the guys this before. Like, one of the things I love about what you guys do is I have zero talent. Like, I love something that I have, like, where I don't know anything about it. Like,
it's fascinating.
I love music. I'm a huge fan. I know nothing about it. When you guys start talking about bars and notes, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
I have a
no
question.
Idea what you're saying.
We don't either.
Do you, are you, like, because you use your voice a lot, you know, when you're on stage and you use it in different registers and you, you know, you podcast. Do you, like, have you ever had problems with it?
No.
That's amazing.
Well, I do a lot of screaming, too. That's
well, I know
crazy.
You do. I know. And you hear a lot of
weird.
Comedians.
Set up
that,
for it, I think. Well, you could do it without fucking your thing up.
Well, the UFC is the weirdest one. I fucking scream sometimes. Like, when I don't even know I'm doing it until I'm doing it. Like, sometimes I'm standing up, I don't even know I'm up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm standing up while I'm doing, like, there was a Arlovsky Travis Brown fight. This crazy fight between these two giant guys who are beating the fuck out of each other. They kept getting dropped, like, over and over. Like, Arlovsky dropped him, I think, three times, and he kept getting up. And then he dropped Arlovsky, and then Arlovsky came back and knocked him out. And by the end of the fight, I was standing up, screaming. And
took
I,
your
and
shirt
I,
off.
I had to realize. I didn't have my pants first. I didn't know I was up until I was like, well, I'm fucking standing up. I don't even know. I've only done that a couple times ever. Yeah. Just all of a sudden I'm standing
well,
up.
Well, the fact that you can scream and you don't lose your voice, I think is remarkable because it's like back when I was bartending, I would lose my voice all the time just from trying to, you know, raise your volume.
About,
and so,
yeah.
But when I quit bartending, my voice went up like an octave and I had to go to speech therapy. So I learned all these things about like
so where
how
were
to use,
you back
okay,
then?
How
can
to
I
use my voice.
That? When you say here. Up an octave, is that like there's an actual note?
For singing, not yeah. for my... I wasn't like speaking in an... I'd be like, hello!
Well, those old ladies that you hear about, like the old bar lady.
Yeah.
Like, who's that girl? Sue Bob. Sue yeah. Bob from the Whites of West Virginia.
Another Budweiser boy.
I've always been the sexy one in the family. You ever seen
God.
It? You haven't seen it?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. No, you never seen it?
Never once.
The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Oh, my God. Everyone talks about
oh,
that.
Oh, my God.
Who talked... Did Everybody. You tell us about this?
When
must
we were
have.
In Nashville, that
Probably.
Was like...
Everybody
required yeah. viewing.
We once you've seen this. It, you can't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah,
because you're like, yo, I think it wasn't Johnny Knoxville? Was it his? Amazing. It's just a really well done documentary. Not just freaky people, but it's all that bar,
that
yeah.
bar voice. They got that bar voice.
It's intense.
Cigarettes and yelling.
Yeah, cigarettes, booze, and
Woo!
Yelling. And there's a sexiness to
right
it
now?
Though. There's definitely like a oh wow, that person has fun, you know. Mm. And I've definitely like I like having a raspy voice, but also like know that it's just damage. So I'm not super pumped about it.
I
at the same
time, I think
people
are really attracted to voices like that in general. Though you listen to, like Otis Redding, yeah. he's got a battered fucking voice.
Yeah,
Janis Joplin.
How about Bukowski?
Bukowski.
I mean, that was half of his thing. Born into this.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and you
was
trust
half
him.
Of his thing. Like, oh yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I
okay.
also think it was
yeah,
his
that's
like
a good way of saying.
It's like you. Some people have that incredible ability to like. Channel their person through this incredible voice like Bukowski or somebody
yeah.
like that and like you know so they're easier to listen to.
Well, Bukowski's poems were always just raw and interesting, but there were nothing like when he read them, especially when you saw there's like for him he's one of the rare poets that I think that a visual aspect like enhances it significantly. Like I love one of my favorite there's a bunch of videos of him at like these readings. And he would sit in front of these audiences and he would drink wine and he would get fucked up. And if people were talking, he would yell at them, I'll come over there right now and I'll beat the fucking shit out of you. And he was this old drunk man.
Uh-huh.
But he was just, and he really would have gone into the audience and fought people. And then he would read this like really intense stuff that he wrote about life and mortality and his, you know, vision yeah. of humanity.
I
it's
a lot
so
of
hard to get people to care about poetry. Yeah. So I think that's how you do it. You got to kind of yell it at them.
You're taking such a crazy chance to even say you wrote a poem. Uh-huh. Yeah. You tell someone, hey, I wrote a poem. Nobody goes, yeah, fucking awesome. Bring it, dude. Bring that poem.
Let's hear those feelings.
You know, most of the time when someone says, I wrote a poem, I'd like you to read it, like, no, no. Like, if someone says they have a song, I'm like, oh, I love songs. Someone says, dude, I got the best joke. Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
I got the best poem. You are a pussy. Get the fuck out of here.
The best poem is a chore. The best.
Oh, man.
Right? The best poet is a bore, and the best poem is a chore. The best. The very best.
Little poetry right there, Joe.
Oh, my God. Did you just write a poem?
Rhyme.
You pussy.
That's my work.
Yeah. Don't lay that shit on us. But when there is a visual element, it's amazing. You know Spalding Gray?
Yes.
At all?
Yes.
Fuck, that's incredible. Yeah.
Didn't he commit suicide?
I don't remember. I don't know. But he did that swimming in Cambodia stuff. Yeah, and it's him just telling these stories, and it's really poetic.
I'm not
But it's the storytelling element. You know, and all of a sudden we want to listen to it. I want to listen to it. I think it's fucking cool.
How about Eric Bogosian?
I don't know who that dude is.
Yeah, I think Spalding Gray did do that. He was having some health issues, and he wound up killing himself. But Eric Bogosian was a guy who, actually, he was doing like more like one-man shows. Well, now, Bogosian was in a bunch of movies for a while, but he actually did some acting, too. But he did like these one-man show things. And I want to say he was reading. I want to say they were like really well-done readings, too, that he did. But Spalding Gray was a guy who was like more known for it, right? Because he sat down at the table.
Yeah, he had this desk, and he even had like a real theatrical vibe. Lights would be going off. And
it's sad when you hear about a guy like that killing himself, because you're like, "Fuck, dude! You know, all those people liked you."
Was he very famous when he died?
Well, he was famous enough that we're talking about him.
Yeah, when in that community.
In that community, I'm sure he was. Reasonably well known for sure, and at the time he had been on TV quite a bit, which is where Ben and I probably saw him first, right?
Well, I saw him on the YouTube, because he had that series. Like, who's the filmmaker? Guy, he did a lot of concert films, and I can't remember his name right now. But in the '60s, he was at like he was taking Hendrix footage, and he was taking a lot of festival footage in the '60s, which nobody was really doing at that time, or at least nowhere near.
Wait, this isn't like some of the. The Rounder stuff. No, that was way earlier.
Lomax?
That's not Lomax.
No.
He was
Spalding Gray. I think his heyday was like the 80s, late 70s.
So it was like 80s. Swimming to Cambodia was 87.
But who's the guy who did that? Then? Who did the film?
Cambodia?
Who directed it?
Let me see here. Hold on, please.
Because he did this, I think the Toronto Peace Festival, this fucking amazing.
Jonathan Demme?
Demme, yeah.
Nice work.
There you go. You're faster than me, you bastard.
Did you look it up?
I have it, too. I was trying. That was he was apparently, it was about his participation in the movie The Killing Fields. Uh-huh. I didn't know that he had anything to do with that.
Yeah. Well, all these beautiful stories. It's not much about the production. It's about his experiences. He just kind of, like, took shit.
Right.
He was an extreme or kind of like a radical liver.
Right. You know,
and just a great storyteller, which is super rare, I think. I mean, it seems like. Mainly that's kind of the comedian's realm now. Like, people don't give a shit about storytellers, but people, if you're a comedian, you can tell us a story.
Well, I think in a way, the problem is like trying to sell this, just like we're talking about, like selling poetry, selling a guy who's like doing a one-man show or one-man story. It's hard. But essentially, like, a lot of people's podcasts are like that.
Yeah. Or stand-up. I mean, stand-up.
Stand-up can be.
Same thing.
In basically. A lot of ways, yeah. But I think the idea about stand-up is, though, you're going to try to be as self-indulgent, like only you try to be as little self-indulgent as possible. I mean, that's the wrong way of phrasing that.
Sure.
But the least amount of self-indulgent humanly possible and the most amount of entertainment for the people that are listening. So the most amount of self-deprecation, the most amount of laughs that you can get out of it, the most amount of humility and approaching the laugh so you don't make people uncomfortable. Like, there's all these variables in achieving the laugh.
Uh-huh.
And achieving the laugh is like the proof that you're on the same level, and then they appreciate your sincerity, and then you're funny and you're hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it's all working together. So it's all like this like dance that you're doing to achieve a result. Whereas you don't have to have a real result. with one of these fucking things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go,
but it has to be gripping.
Deep.
You know what I mean?
You would think.
It,
but,
sure.
But the amount that aren't, like, to get it to that polished diamond state requires a lot of discipline.
Sure, but you can say the same about stand-up, right?
But stand-up, you eat dick on stage, and it just balances it out. You can't eat.
Okay.
It's just too hard. The bombing is too hard on the soul.
Yeah.
You'll come around to writing the best shit you can.
That's I really think there's a level of bravery in stand-up that is not really involved in music. People just don't judge you the same way.
Well,
you know?
It's a weird thing to quantify because I think there's a level of bravery in being a soldier that's a lot tougher than a level.
Sure, but none of those people are here.
Deeper and deeper, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's a level of bravery when Buck Rogers saved the earth.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's always going to be...
Well, everybody makes their effort in a different way, you know?
Definitely.
If I had the physical structure to be a soldier and the brain power, emotional power.
Do you think you can go over and kick some ass for America?
I think I could, but I don't know if it would be for America as
That's
much as it would
soldiers
probably
we want.
Be to, like, save myself, not to sound
or
so selfish.
For Cincinnati. I'm not into America.
I would do it for Cleveland.
Just parts of Ohio.
I would kick ass for Cleveland.
National Guard.
I don't know about all of America. I'm just kidding.
Cincinnati and Cleveland, do they have a rivalry at all? Like, if you said, I would kick ass for Cleveland, does people in Cincinnati,
Absolutely.
Are they going to hate on you now next time you're there?
No. Cincinnati's fine by
Cincinnati?
No. Look.
How dare you? It's really Kentucky.
Browns versus Bengals. Browns versus Steelers, Browns versus Ravens. Those are that's the trifecta of difficult times in that region of the country. But I'll be honest with you, I love playing in Pittsburgh. I love playing in Cincinnati, and every time I'll have fun, harmless banter about our sports teams. I can't really say the same about Baltimore as much as, like, Baltimore is a great town, but we only really went through there once. And we literally stopped to eat dinner and found crack on the ground.
This is bad PR, Suze. We got to build
Baltimore
back up.
I know, but we want to come play there. Help us.
you're going to have to take some time. Don't be a hero, okay? We're talking about the amount of bravery it takes to be a comedian.
Yeah.
It takes more bravery to play Baltimore.
Yeah.
I had this guy, Michael Wood, who was a cop from Baltimore. I had him on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
He was a retired cop and a young guy, too. He had just a massive shoulder injury. His shoulder blew apart. They put it back together and it blew apart again. He had to retire. But very intelligent, articulate dude and very compassionate and outside of the police department now. You know, still a young guy. What was he, like 35 or something like that? Maybe younger.
When you say blew 32. Apart, did he get shot?
No, I forget what the injury was, but he had to get shoulder reconstructive surgery, and
That's
then it still didn't take, and it was like his shoulder's fucked. Like, he apparently was in a high-speed chase, and his shoulder just blew out while he was turning the steering wheel. It's pretty fucked up. But point is, like, he was talking about how crazy Baltimore has always been. They found some directives, I guess it was, from the police department from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, me and these other cops are reading this. We're like, Jesus fucking Christ, we're chasing our tails. Like, this is exactly the same places where the exact same crimes are going on.
No, there's a specific reason for that. And that's because there was, like, literal, like constitutional, or like, city ordinances of segregation and consolidating these neighborhoods and having them be specifically black, and you couldn't buy a house in a certain neighborhood if you were black, even if you had the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole tier is like they were just built to fail.
Yeah.
And the reason that crime was flourishing and thriving so much is because they didn't have a fucking chance. I mean, it's like I listened to a NPR podcast a little while ago that explained how when was it the 60s boom?
It was post-war, post-World War II.
Post-World War II.
And they're making all these housing ordinances for the vets and things like that. And they're like, hey, guys, welcome back. You can't live here. You know,
yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
It's awful.
It is pretty awful.
I didn't even know about that until a few years ago.
Yeah. And it seemed like...
Do you remember who brought that up? Someone brought that up on the podcast. And we were like, what? And we had to look into it. Do you remember who it was, Jim? No?
Well, it's the same with education, too. I mean, it would be like all of these... you know, schools that just wouldn't let intelligent African Americans in, and you wouldn't get the education that you wanted or deserved or, you know, could achieve. And it was just like, you know, you're kind of stuck in this box, which is those neighborhoods. You know, they were made for that. It's so fucked up.
Well, there's so many levels to the whole thing. Like, first of all, the level of overcoming slavery. Like, you ever heard a white guy say, God, it was so long ago, fucking get over it. You know, I've heard white guys say that, and you go, okay. It's not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
It seems less than 100 years before what she was just talking about.
Yeah, it seems like it was long. Like, I have a 1965 Corvette. When that Corvette, when it was made, 100 years before that, almost exactly, slavery was abolished. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy.
That's
insane. Yeah. Yeah. That might be one of the most bizarre things. 100 years is not my wife's mom died recently, and she was 97. Like, she was 100 years old.
Wow.
So from the time that she died to, like realistically, could have been alive while fucking slavery was happening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's realistic.
That's no good.
Like, that amount of age, you could have someone from 1965, and if they were that age, they could remember fucking slavery.
Yeah.
What?
That was terrible. Oh, God.
God damn, that's like when I was born. Yeah. I was born in 67. So I was born 2 years after that. Like, that is, to me, when I put it in those terms, like the generational terms, it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People had slaves yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all the...
Yeah, and they still do some places now. I mean, this is just our country.
You're right.
Like, this is going on all the time.
We were just talking about nail salons. Something that we found out that's really disturbing is that, you know, there's like a dime a dozen nail salons in New York City or places like, you know, L.A., where it's really cheap to get your toes and your fucking fingers painted. And
which feels really good, by the way.
Wow, you're so...
keep it going, Tim.
You're so put together.
By the way,
you are missing a button, and I can see your belly button.
Whoa.
Just letting it breathe. Anyone have a problem with that in here?
I don't have a problem with that.
No, but these nail salons, they bring in men and women from, you know, Thailand, Vietnam. And they're like indentured servants, and they make them work, and they don't pay them, and they live in these like apartments with like 15 people sleeping in one room. And, like, it's
guys, how are we gonna fix this shit?
Yeah, how do they fix that? It's a really good question. I think in this, like, what you can control for sure first is in this country. You know, I mean, things like we talked about before the show about my friend Justin Wren and all these little artifacts he brought back from the Congo. Like, that guy's like changing things in like real time.
Mm-hmm.
But like in this country, I think there's a bunch of things that could be done that are just not done.
Sure.
And one of the major ones is they have to treat really poor neighborhoods not like a static reality that has just this is what it is. It's a really poor neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They have to put it like it's a problem, like a wildfire. Like, here, you got a wildfire. What are you going to do? You're just going to let it burn and just get out of the way? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to put it out?
Yeah.
You have a problem. You have your electricity's down. You have a water main broke. You have there's a problem.
Yeah.
But those
have such direct solutions. You know, I mean, that's what's so difficult about it. It's like put water on the fire, it's going to go out. This is like, God, the implications of all that stuff is so crazy.
I think they should admit, first and foremost, that a horrible crime has been done. In places like Baltimore, when they, you know, what this Michael Wood described it as institutionalized racism.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the zones where people lived. It's hard to argue against that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you have to think about, like, what is the best way to help people out of this? What's the best way to engineer, like, a more crime-free, safer, more educated and aware, and have these people feel like they belong, a part of the rest of the city?
How
to do that without
it's collective efforts. I mean,
yeah.
It's something, like, it's really, I'm really glad we're talking about this, because I think, like, this kind of thing, like, keeps me up at night when I think about, like, fuck, what can I do? What can we do? You know?
You should write a poem about it.
People want to hear it.
Listen, motherfucker.
Damn.
I'll write a poem right now.
That could be the start.
But things like, Joe, like your podcast are
your fucking podcast.
You're like, your fucking podcast. I'm serious, though. Like, this kind of thing is part of that collective effort, is as giving people that first grain of thought of, like, oh, wow, I never knew that there were zoning laws in Baltimore and inner cities that made it really hard for black people to get ahead in life, that they had no scholarships. You know, the changes that need to be, that need to take place, like, we don't have some kind of solution, you know, like this think tank, but you have this platform where you can start talking about it and informing people. And, you know, when I get really worked up and think about, like, what can we do, you know, we have this band that is growing and getting attention. And, you know, you have these opportunities to sit here and talk to somebody like you, and people are listening. And, you know, you hope that that starts more another train of thought that can actually make some kind of difference. I don't know what it is.
I think people are already having these conversations. And one of the things that they love about podcasts like this is because, you know, you go, yes, other people are thinking like this too. Like, people are wondering, how did we get to be grown adults with this chaotic system in place that was established by people who, you know, when you go back to the origins of civilization, even just in this country, which is like a really recent country, those people were monsters. Yeah. Those people that came here on boats, they were monsters.
Oh, man.
The fucking, you ever read what Columbus had done?
Oh, it's fucked up.
Oh, my God, no, they were monsters. Uh-huh. What they
but
did
the
to
world
those people.
Was so, like, and this isn't, yeah, that's fucked up. I just
horrific.
Read this book about the first interactions between the West or England mainly, or in Europe and Japan, you know, and the journeys that these people would have to go through to trade, to make contact with these countries. And, I mean, it's the way they looked at the world then was the way we look at the universe now. It's just like, I don't know what's over there. I have no idea what's going on. There's things jutting. There's icebergs jutting out of the water and monsters that eat people, like, and cannibals and shit. Like, that was real. You know, so it's like this super, I think, climate of defensiveness that we all, just as a person, you grow up kind of trying to defend yourself against the environment.
At an extremely high level.
You know? And then
it always takes, go ahead.
There's just a layer of danger that, at least where we are, you're not accustomed to. So you're going around the world being like, holy fuck, like, where am I? I don't want to get killed. 50% of my men just died.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say other than the context is so different. You know?
It's a totally different world. That's why it's insane to live to have our civilization run the way it's run now, just because it's been done this way for 100 plus, 200 plus, whatever years. Like, if we wanted to start out today, how many people do you think would accept the Electoral College? How many people would accept the idea that you actually just elect a representative, and that representative can actually, like, he can choose to vote against the wishes of the rest of the state? Like, you can, you have, like, electoral college, and then you have, when each state has a certain amount of points that go in, and you watch when you watch the vote, like, they're like, how many votes is what, and what's going on, the numbers
so
are in, and what the fuck are you talking about? And then you find out that, like, especially during, like, the George Bush days, that they were still doing it with the piece of paper, with the hole in the piece of paper.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
That was, wasn't that like the 90s when the election was recalled because they had a recount?
Well, to this day, people still believe Al Gore won.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that believe he won and that they fucked him out of Florida. And there's also, like,
how would
the
we
Republicans
know?
Had did some weird shit where they, like, they just crossed people's names out and banned them if they thought they were black, and then they would have to prove that they weren't the person that was off this list of, like, felons, or, you know, like, sometimes people, Jimmy White. There's a lot of fucking Jimmy Whites, man. You know, if you're Jimmy White and you live in Baltimore, and there's 1,000 of the Jimmy Whites, and 20 of them have been to jail, like, good luck getting registered to vote. They're going to put you on a fucking list, and then you have to go to court to, like, make sure that you can vote. It takes too much time. They're not going to do it. No one's going to do it. They don't have the time for that, and they know that, and so they rigged it, which is just dark.
Well, here's the thing. It's like,
un-American.
The system is flawed. I mean, there's just no fucking two ways around it.
I just don't think it needs to be here anymore. I think it's like one of those things, like, you need to write books on paper with ink. You need a quill.
Yeah.
And you need to sit by a candlelight.
Oh, it's super antiquated.
No, you don't need to sit by a candlelight. You don't need to write with a feather. You can talk, and your computer will dictate it.
Yeah.
Like, we're in a new world.
Yeah.
And this world of, it's hard to get information across this the states. So you need a representative. You need you want to make sure that every area, even the high population areas, they don't dominate the rural farmlands. So we need to have some sort of a system where people give a fuck about Iowa. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it is. But that's only in place because it was all established when people were apes. But they were raft riding apes with no cars.
Yeah.
They didn't have phones. They didn't know where the fuck you went. When you went out of sight, if you went into the woods, they thought you were a dream. People didn't even know if they ever really did know you. They didn't know. Yeah. If they fucking really knew for sure that you were coming back, they'd make a painting of you.
Damn.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They had fucking paintings. That was it. That was it.
Yeah. Remember paintings the guy from the wall in the cave?
Shit. That's the wall crazy. In the cave was like an eight. It was like an eight track.
We were just in Old Town. We were just in Old Town San Diego yesterday. After we played, in San Diego yesterday afternoon.
Love San Diego. And God, I love
Old Town's
down
pretty, you know, it's pretty charming. But they had like, you know what? I was so hungry and I was like walking by and passing, but they had like costumed, like. San Diego like settlers, you know, but they like looked like pirates.
Okay.
And they were walking through the streets and people were freaking out. They were like, well, there were like two big buses of tourists going crazy. Like I was like, God damn it, everybody calm down.
Jesus.
It's just a guy with a cape on. Fucking slow your roll.
Yeah, chill.
But it was funny. Well, just kind of piggybacking on what we're talking about, because I'm thoroughly obsessed with like frontier shows like Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching Hell on Wheels right now. I just got into this show, Hell on Wheels.
What is
and
that?
It's on AMC, and it's really well written. I'm only in like season two, so I don't know what happens after this, guys. Like, I don't know if this is like
a poor statement,
but it's still going. So that says something.
What
about
is it about?
It's about this railroad that's being built. And like it's incredible to be privy to that day and age where like it's so wild, it's so lawless. Everybody is just like barely staying alive. You're like Indians are coming in, killing you and slaughtering you. You know, you're like taking over their shit, and it's really for some reason it like just cuts right to my soul. Like I can't not be just totally enamored and, you know, enthralled by it. And it like. It's interesting to think about, because that also wasn't that long ago.
No.
The frontier days when the country focused solely on this one thing together, you know, building this country. Well, maybe not together, because there's so many immigrants and so many people that were like isolated. But the point is that like it's interesting to witness everyone fighting their battle, you know. Mm. But there's these great parts of the show when they all have to come together for a common purpose. Like there's robbers robbing the train that gets them their pay. And if they don't get their pay, they're broke, you know? So there's like this interesting camaraderie, and then they're enemies. And then, you know, and that's kind of how it is in real life, you know, which is interesting to think about, because we're all so different. And, you know, when you have these efforts, and I don't want to say common enemy, because that sounds really negative. But like when you're all working towards something with your differences, that's when actual progress starts being made.
Right. That's always a good scene in a movie, right?
Yeah, it's a good scene in a movie.
You shake hands with the neighbors to fight the monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
Glover and Mel Gibson getting along all of a sudden. It's the truth.
Exactly.
We're watching Terminator 2.
Isn't that really why we get so angry and offended when people whine and bitch today? Because, like, you're like, good fucking Lord. You live in the best time ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, society's going to shit,
No,
man.
It's good to be humble.
The world is fucking falling apart, okay? No one has any values anymore. I mean, no one values culture or art. Will you please stop saying that, everyone? We're just dealing with overwhelming numbers of people yelling in a room. That's what it is. It's not that there's not as much or way more interesting shit in that noise. It's just there's so many fucking people communicating now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the whole rule, the whole game is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks now.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, you know what's super cool is like getting people outside of their comfort zone and watching how they deal with it in like a way that like, so like my folks live in Ohio, pretty Republican. you know, but they're really good people, and they're fucking hilarious. And they came out to 5 shows in Colorado on this last tour that we had.
Uh-oh, contact time.
Oh, my God. It was so, Joe, it was so
we
funny.
Came so close to smoking weed with them.
Yeah, my dad.
So close.
So my dad just retired.
Just, there was like a ginger backing out
wish
of the
room. Wish I was there to help.
It was so, my dad's got a super thick Cleveland accent. He's like, if I'm gonna smoke pot with my daughter and it's legal, I'm going to do it. And I was just like,
but
Dad.
But you didn't do it, Ray.
And I was like, well, it ain't no 70s
well,
dirt
time.
Weed. I mean, I was like, Ray.
Well, yeah, Ray, you got to take it slow,
son. Talk about what you're getting into. But
you got to make sure a guy like that doesn't drown.
But I want to tell you this fucking so cool good. Thing, which was that, like, you know, I love my parents so much, and they're really incredible people, and I've watched them grow in this way that, like, they're always changing, and they're like, even though they have, like, their beliefs, and my dad has worked his fucking ass off his entire life, you know, and he's a, you know, middle class business owner, just retired, so he's got this, you know, this view on life. And then we put him in Colorado, and they caravaned for 5 shows, and we had lunch with this with these incredible people, this judge, this lawyer, and these, like, you know, kind of liberal hippie you know, politicians in Colorado. And we were sitting at a table with my parents, and I was just, it was so cool to watch them interact with people that they would never hang out with. And then watch them sort of, like, lay back and have, like, just, like, absorb this information that's not something
that's awesome.
that they would have on a regular basis. And so they left, and it was such an interesting, like, I really felt our relationship change a little bit after that. You know, and just watching them let loose, my dad really wanted to smoke weed, but it just never worked out. No, he did, but he had to drive, and that was responsible because he would have been fucked up.
Do you think, like, as you've gotten more successful and as you've gotten older, your dad can look at you not just as his daughter, but also as an adult human being where he respects your opinion?
Oh, yeah. No, we're very...
I'm spinning, sorry.
We have, like, no, we have a really incredible relationship. Wait, what did you say?
I said meal ticket. I was
so
joking.
Oh, you're such a dick.
He said, so subtle.
We're not there yet, but.
Well,
yeah, we will.
A meal ticket.
A lot of this stuff.
No, I would love to take care of
them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful.
But I mean, you're a woman now, and you're like a professional singer of the utmost respect. Like, people love your shit. So it's like he goes to see you, and he sees her. He sees his daughter on stage, wailing out these songs and people going nuts. You don't think that must make him think, like, "Holy, I gotta appreciate, like, what it took to do that. I have to appreciate what's happening here. Like, this isn't just my daughter. She doesn't just have to listen to me. She's not, like, I'm not right about everything. I can't be right about everything because I can't do that."
No, he's both my mom and my dad are really their support, like, is beyond anything I ever could have wanted. I mean, I moved to New York City when I was 16 because I used to be I was a catalog model, and I was doing really well. And my parents were like, I was starting my junior year of high school, and I was really fucking driven. Like, I had no inhibitions, and I was like, I want to go here and I want to go here. And do you guys think I can do that? And they're like, yeah. And they let me move there when I was 16.
Wow.
And it was fucking crazy. And it honestly was one of those, I think, kind of pivotal moments where it was their belief in the fact that I could do what I wanted, because they were like, I think you have something special, you know, which is, like, a really incredible feeling to have. And they were always behind me. And, like, yeah, we fight. I mean, my family's really close, so we fight hard. There's a lot of yelling. I grew up with a lot of yelling. But
she got your dad high. That's all
I know. Well,
I'm hearing a lot of fucking memory lane.
Simple.
I should have got my dad high.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's always a future.
Yeah. There's this is going to happen at some point.
It's going to happen.
We'll talk all about it.
Yeah, you just got to baby fuck him.
What is that?
What did you just say? Excuse me?
Slow. Baby steps.
Can we find another metaphor?
It's baby steps.
Right.
Baby steps.
There's another word in there.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying, though. It got across. Like, even though it sounds like an inappropriate statement,
but
sure. You know what I'm saying.
No, I've adjusted to it.
Slow and sure. Slow and sure.
Kind of innocent.
Yeah. Just a little puff. Just a little puff.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
I know that
Ray was had a thing. Quaaludes in the 70s. He was
that's a problem, too, right? You start thinking, like,
sorry,
I don't want to be that loser again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Take you down the tunnel, I'm sure.
Well, you also realize, hey, this does not this doesn't go with success.
Yeah.
This doesn't help me get my shit together and not be psychologically terrified most of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking around for my next fix of Quaaludes.
It's nice to know that they were human, though. Like, my mom used to smoke weed. My dad used to, you know, smoke weed. And, like, Ben, we're going to do this. Ben, can we get your dad high?
I think that's a bad idea. Actually, or it might be amazing. I don't know. My dad's 94.
Oh, it'd be perfect. What are you holding back? Cancer? What are you worried about?
He's had that. He's 94. Yeah, he's done that.
Because 94 is the home stretch.
It's the convincing. Man, maybe you're right.
Ben.
Shit.
94 is the home stretch.
He might freak the fuck out,
though. But he might ease slowly into the great beyond, too. Like,
you're
get your old man to go from pot to mushrooms. They say that mushrooms is a significant reliever of the stress of worrying about the expectations of anything.
I'm so glad you just said that. I've never even thought about it with him. You know, but he has anxiety. He's freaked out. He's staring at the void, dude, for real.
Yeah.
He's seeing his body deteriorate.
Yeah.
All these things happen, and I get the anxiety from him.
It's a real issue with people, man. You know, when we were kids and we would see what we would call, in quotes, the angry old man, you know? So, get out of my yard, you fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we always thought, like, God, this guy's such
a
downer. Yeah. Everybody has them. Every
the
neighborhood
dude in
has
my
a
neighborhood
guy.
Poisoned the cats. He was an evil motherfucker.
So
he put rat poison and killed a bunch of cats. Forgot his name.
Asshole.
He's long gone, though.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, every neighborhood has, like, old people that are angry.
Mm.
And one of the things they're angry at is, like, the vitality of their vessel is eroding before their eyes.
Yeah.
And you just get caught up in this shit. And that's when when you meet old people that hate young people.
Yeah.
You know, that was Elizabeth Bathory, I think it was. Is that her name?
I don't know.
One of the most evil women of all time. She was a royal. Oh, let me pull up.
Is this in New Orleans, or was it Crazy Chick in New
Orleans?
No, it was
a long time ago. It was in like, I want to say Hungary. Isabeth. But she's like one of the most famous serial killers of all time.
Oh, shit.
And what she started doing after she started getting older, she started killing all these young women that were in the town, and she would like bathe in their blood.
Oh,
and
my God.
She would torture them. Yeah, it was in the 1500s in Hungary. 1560.
What was her name?
Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
She apparently was like attractive when she was younger, and as she got older, her appearance faded.
Sleeping Beauty or Snow White, kind of.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's a scary fucking story because she was a royal. She was a very wealthy royal person, so
she
never
could do what she wanted.
She could get away with
her punishment was just stay in your castle.
Yeah, she killed a lot of people.
Yeah,
it was like it might have been like hundreds of women or something ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it was hundreds.
Yeah,
and they just made her stay in her castle. That was it. That was the punishment. I think she had like a special room that she had to stay in her castle. I mean,
with
so it's kind of jail, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she still had her money. She still had
her isn't
her
that
servants.
Interesting? Like that's kind of how like it is now, just in a very different way. Like. People that are on top can get away with so much. Like this fucking have you seen the Robert Durst stuff on HBO?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it, but I know about it.
He's gotten pretty far, one would say, and now he's kind of fucked himself, and it's looking like hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, he'll.
Yeah, he's gonna go to jail, right?
He's in jail.
Well, he should be dead.
He will be.
There's not any time
he will
for
be
you,
soon.
Dude. So apparently I was incorrect. She, at the end of her life, they put her in solitary confinement.
Mm.
So she was in a castle, but she was placed in solitary. She was kept bricked into a set of rooms with only small slits left open for ventilation and the passing of food.
Oh, Jesus.
She remained there for 4 years until her death.
So she was psychotic anyway, and then they put her in like a black room.
She was a rich monster. That's what she was. She was a privileged, rich monster. And at the end, she was such a monster when they found what she had done, that they found the bones of these hundreds of women, and they knew that she had been doing it forever, and the servants knew, and she'd bring girls in, and they would be screaming, and she would cut them up in front of everybody and tie them up and like fill tubs with their blood and throw their bodies aside. And, but she did it for a long fucking
time. New Orleans, too. A famous woman in New Orleans is a house you can go to. And she was just a, you know, member of the aristocracy.
Wait, was that on American Horror Story?
I don't know. But it's just like a famous story.
God, it's so scary.
We're
going
to be in New Orleans
people.
Soon. You want to go?
God.
No, me either.
No, I don't. Not interested in that.
It's just so scary. It's so scary where people can get to if they have a position of ultimate power.
Yeah.
Like if they have a slave, if they have a, you know, if they have a royalty. Like if you've seen what's going on in Los Angeles with all these guys from the Middle East that keep doing crazy things, and they're getting arrested, and they're claiming diplomatic immunity.
Like that's Lethal Weapon, bringing it back to Lethal Weapon. Sorry, but that was like a big part of that movie.
Was that like the
diplomatic immunity,
African
dude.
Guy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's real. Right. I didn't even
see that. Where did you get that from? Benjamin.
Love that movie.
There's been a bunch of them lately. One guy was, two guys fled the country because they were racing through Beverly Hills.
Oh, I did hear about that.
And they tried to claim diplomatic immunity, and they just skirted
one. Douchebags.
Oh, my God.
From Qatari, Q-A-T-R-I, whatever the fuck that is. One of those. Strange. Probably not even, you know, they don't even use the English language. So, like, their letters are different than our letters. So when we write something, like, really awful, like Q-T-A-R-I or something like that, that's our fuck-up. It's not their fuck-up. They don't even use our, like, why do we make it so, you know, why does it have to be such a weird fucking
the
spelling?
The tools we got.
But that's wrong. Say it, like, what does it sound like, bitch? Write it like that. You know, why is it so hard?
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Tell me what it sounds like.
We
I'll
need some
write
new
it in
letters,
my own
Joe.
Language.
We need some new letters.
We're fine. We just, just got to stop talking to people that use phlegm.
Come on. You're talking to a Jew. You're talking to a Jew, brother.
Ben, do something, Ben.
I don't know. He's not listening to me. I lost him. Kind of some sort of rant.
That was back when people worked on farms
a lot. You know, you actually just said
a lot
of things, right?
They had
said
a lot
some
of
really beautiful
milk.
Things right there.
They ate a lot of cheese. It was a big part of their diet. There was a lot of phlegm in the air back then.
Sure, sure.
Oh my God.
People were super phlegmy.
It goes back to what we were talking about before. Human voice. I can do some crazy shit. You can do some crazy shit with this.
Right.
Have you seen there's a video of a girl who can sing two pitches at the same time?
It's fucked up.
What?
Yeah, and she can move them in opposite directions. She can hold one, move another one. Like, she's just using her body. I'll look it up.
How is she?
Like,
well, Jamie will do it. He'll pull it up. Put your headset on.
There's a word for it.
He'll find it.
There's Tuvan throat singing in Mongolia where they're activating all these overtones.
It's
and
crazy.
People are literally singing chords. Like, we can
no,
do
but the
crazy
woman you're
shit.
Talking about, there's
None
a specific word for it. Is it like tonal? Something
polyphonic
like
overtone.
Thank you. Wait, Samsonite.
Singing, but more than one.
Wow.
I'm trying, guys. Doing my best. Yeah.
So, do you think that this is something that she was born with this ability?
Well,
or
we're
is
all,
this
we
something...
can all do it. We could do it. We all have the equipment. It's like perfect pitch. You know about what perfect pitch is?
No.
So perfect pitch is the ability to just recognize frequencies as per the musical alphabet. So if I went like this,
B flat. Yeah.
You would know, oh, that's a G, because I know the sound of that frequency.
Yeah.
And we're all born with this. But for the most part, it's not really useful, so we just kind of phase it out.
Right.
But some people develop it, or for some weird kind of developmental reason, they hold on to it. And if you're a musician, can be super helpful. But this chick, she's just doing what we can all do, but she's just developed it.
Let's hear it.
The Lady and the Cat. Yes.
She's kind of a babe, too.
So crazy.
You hear those pitches? It's incredible.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. I mean, it goes on for minutes where she'll just
see
the control she has is incredible.
Oh my God, she has an English accent.
She was an overtune.
It's not English.
No, I think she is. Some sort of
in my mind, is.
In my mind, she has
trying
wings.
To make it perfect.
Oh my God!
It's awesome.
Wow. So is this something that she developed?
Yeah.
Huh. Do you think
you can do it, Joe? I believe in you.
I don't believe in me. Interesting.
Isn't it beautiful? Support takes us so far.
Yeah, I just that's insane.
Yeah. Have you heard Tuvan throat singing?
No.
It's a Mongolian thing. It's super traditional.
Here's the thing, though. Right now, it's a novelty. because that doesn't sound as good as someone singing awesome.
So
it's kind of silly.
I can sort of agree. That was more like the introductory. That would be like you like being like, this is how you sweep the knee. I don't really know the terminology.
Sweep the knee. Sorry, Joe.
Look, our friendship is on a different level, but at some point, I really hope you can teach me the martial arts ways.
Would you teach us?
I was sure. Yeah, I would show you guys some stuff. I don't have the time to spend to really train you. This is why I'm going to say this, because if you really want to learn martial arts is not something that you're ever going to get good by dabbling.
Sure.
You're going to have to get obsessed with it. And
well,
then you're going to have
fine.
To do it all the time. And I don't have the time to teach you
I'm
all
good
the
at
time.
Obsessing
we'll,
you know, over
we'll
things,
find
but...
others, dude. You're not
but
our only
that's what
fucking...
I'm saying. But what I would is, what I would do is I would introduce you guys to some movement and some techniques.
Great.
And I would show you what your body's possible of if you understood where to put it. Uh-huh. And like simple stuff. There's like simple stuff that you can do, especially jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is the like... one of the easiest ones for me to explain to someone, because I can explain to you in a way that I get my kids to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids choke me all the time. But trying to teach my kids to utilize their hips properly, to throw their weight into a kick, like there's a snap with your hip.
That shit's dance,
dude.
I do know that.
I
mean, that's the same. It's amazing. I really,
in a way.
It totally is. And I know that's why you give me the poem face.
Well, it is in a way. It is in a way, in the same way that like we were talking about pool is is in a way. Or
it's just movement. Sorry, movement.
Well, it's nice, right? When it's nice. When it's nice to look at.
Yeah.
Like when someone's dancing, it's nice to look at.
When I think about guitar, that's a huge reason why I want to take martial arts, is because of how it would impact playing the guitar, playing an instrument, doing anything.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden your efficiency, your movement changes, and you're capable of different stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
I think everything is like that.
I think
if you watch like a little kid's gymnastics class, I take my kids to gymnastics, and I watch these little kids bounce around. And it's very interesting watching, like, someone nail something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, there's these girls that are older. You know, they're probably, like, 12 or 13 or something along those lines. And they're, like, just starting to figure out how to do backflips. And they're starting to figure out how to land gracefully. And then there's girls that are even older than that, like maybe 16 and 17, that are just wicked.
Yeah.
You watch them flip through the air, and you're like, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and there's some young boys that do, like, these crazy ring exercises where they can stretch their arms
crossed,
up straight,
dude.
And they're fucking, they bring their feet up above their head, and they flip over, and they do a handstand. I mean, it's nuts, right?
Yeah.
There's something about watching someone nail movement, you know?
And
it's just like...
well, it's inspiring.
Yeah,
man.
It's
like,
guitar, someone shredding.
Uh-huh.
It's someone doing a drum solo.
Well, and it impacts everything. So I love to play drums. And I've played a lot when I was a kid, less now. But I narrowed my practice down to one thing. And I feel pretty fine about it. You know, I feel like with that one kind of concept, I can get where I want to go, which is... have any of my limbs do what any of my other limbs can do. You know what
I
mean? If my left hand can do it, my right foot has to be able to do it. My left foot can do it, vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
You have to be a part.
It has to not matter.
You have to be able to make the sound you want to make.
Nice. And when I was doing that, I would notice myself, all of a sudden I'd be eating with my left hand. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even think about it. I started shooting basketballs with my left hand. I didn't even know. But
were
just
you
from
making the shots?
Guns, yeah, dude, that's fucking... No, I mean, I'd missed the shot horribly, but...
You know, I think of drums, kind of as a person who doesn't know how to play any musical instruments, I think of drums as sculpture. This is what I think. I think when you're drumming, like when I watch a heavy-duty drum solo, I think half of what this guy has to do is get away from whatever restrictions his body has on his movements. Like half of what a drummer is doing, it's so physical. There's so much speed and coordination involved that half of what you're doing is heightening your ability to move in like the exact way you want it to move to create a certain sound.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like me, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I brought them, I mean, I could eventually, I'm sure, learn how to play drums. But I'm saying, like, if I brought someone into my world and made them do something that I do physically all the time, like
an odd thing, like play pool or something like that. If they didn't know how to play pool, it would be real awkward and goofy, and their body wouldn't move right.
Yeah.
But if they know, they know where the fucking stick is going.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how to do it, like I see this. It's half of what he's doing is trying to cut down on the amount of resistance in his body listening to his mind to make the sound.
Well, it's the same thing with any instruments, a guitar or violin or whatever. It's just on a micro level. You know what I mean? It's just more contained. And that's why I think martial arts, dude, once we do that, we'll fucking take over the world.
Can you come on the road with us?
Yeah, and we'll give you jump lessons.
It'd be hard to do, but we could do more shows like we're doing New Year's Eve. That's how we plug around this bitch. If you guys want to go to that show, there is not many tickets left. I'll just tell you right now, it's not even October. What is it? September 28th or something today? What is today? 28th. But it's a crazy show. It's Honey Honey. It's Joey Diaz, Duncan Trussell, Ari Shaffir, and me at the Wiltern in Los Angeles.
Guys,
New Year's
bring it in 2016.
We're ready. We were here for the end of the world. It didn't happen. I think maybe because of us.
Whoa, good work, Joe.
I think the show with you, me, good and work. Stanhope and Diaz might have been so
epic.
Some
valiant efforts.
You said this podcast changing things.
I think the universe said, let's give these dumb monkeys a chance. We pulled together
a pretty
dope end of the mind calendar show.
Oh my God.
But it was so fun. And we said, we got to do more of those. We fucking never did. We didn't for 3 years.
It's nice to have something to wait for. You know,
shit's been simmering. Yeah, that marinara is going to be ripe.
No wine before it's time. Remember Orson Welles? He used to do those commercials.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, see, you don't remember. You have to, like.
But I remember no women before the fight, Rocky. The legs.
Oh, yeah. But you probably saw that on YouTube. I saw it in the movie theater back when there was no newspapers. Back when people were sending messages on pigeons and shit.
What?
Oh, my God.
They had smoke signals if something was wrong. That's when I saw it.
That's amazing.
Lots changed, Joe.
What were you saying that you saw on YouTube? You were talking about something that you'd seen on YouTube. You were watching
Spalding Gray.
Yeah, Spalding Gray. I saw that guy on television, actual television. And I think he did movies.
He did some short films too. And like great.
But I think he did like movies of his storytelling.
That's what that released what he brought Jonathan Demme. Shot this Swimming to Cambodia thing. It was a film.
That's right. So it was so in the movie theaters. In my mind, for whatever reason, it was on HBO or something like that.
But I guess that's
not entirely correct. I think it actually was a movie theater. I was trying to muffle the sound of the cubes.
The cubes. Refill, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's about time for round two.
Okay. Let's do that. You know, we were talking about old people earlier, and it's interesting because speaking of alcohol, there's so many things. Oh, Joe, you never put the glass in my eyes.
Yeah, you can get shards.
Okay.
It's
your bowels.
If the glass breaks, you'd get new ice.
He's got a solution, but say when.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
So many lessons.
There are solutions out there.
I think about old people a lot when I get, like, you wake up and you have a stiff neck and you're like, fuck, I can't drink. And, like, you're miserable and you're, like, crotchety because your neck hurts or your shoulder or whatever from the van or whatever we're doing on tour. And then I'm like, this must be what it's like to be old.
No, except like because, 100
But 100 times worse.
100 times worse. Yeah.
Like you have ailments all day. You might not have pooped for 4 days.
You know what blows my mind is the balance thing. That's what my dad has neuropathy. So that means he's losing the feeling in his feet.
Let's before we get into that. Are you having another drink? Or no?
I was going to smoke that
weed. Ben, no.
Ben's going
it's
deep.
Bad.
Going in. Okay, yes, I'm going to ease up on this.
Weed is like cocaine for Ben. And cocaine is like cocaine for me.
Dude, don't rush.
Here's a fun fact.
Like Bigfoot
I tell you guys something funny? While Ben pours himself a drink. Ben, pour your drink.
I'm good.
You want to cheers with that?
You don't have any booze in there, dude.
I can drink. Why
Ben,
you
you're making everybody look
this is
terrible.
Embarrassing.
Okay, all the people
drink
out there,
together.
I'm
don't
being
be
peer pressured.
You're totally being peer pressured.
But it's working.
I know. I feel like
you and that gal travel together. You gotta find a comfortable medium.
No, but who do you think's driving?
Great. You're not kidding.
Listen, we have time. There's plenty of places to eat around here.
Hey, cheers, guys.
We'll work this off.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, please. Great to have you guys.
Yeah.
Salute.
Mm-hmm.
So recently,
back to my dad's health problems.
back to old people that are about to kick off into the next dimension.
Oh boy!
Did you hear about those fucking people that they were on that Ghost Hunter show?
I died.
They a murder suicide.
What?
The husband killed the wife and killed himself, apparently, or
wait,
allegedly.
Wait. In real life?
In real life.
They were on a ghost hunting reality show?
One of those ghost hunting reality shows. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And there was like a standoff. You know, apparently there had been like some physical violence, domestic violence issues between them before.
Working partnerships is.
And I think the girl was trying to, woman was trying to get away from the guy, allegedly. I really shouldn't talk about this because my amount of information I had about the actual. The actual, you know, physical case that the murder suicide is very small, but because I think they're still investigating it, right?
Wait,
you know the story, right?
You posted
recently, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, terrifying. But I mean, how crazy is that? These people. You think about what a ghost hunter is. At the end of the day, besides a bullshit artist, what a ghost hunter. At the end of the day, what a ghost hunter is a historian of tragedy.
Mm, wow.
Because you're always involved in some story where there was a mass murder. I don't not believe in ghosts.
I got some crazy stories, man.
But I don't not believe in ghosts. But what the idea of what a ghost is, a ghost hunter is, right? If you're a person who's going to a psych ward, okay, and you're waiting in the basement for ghosts, you go into a place where people have been murdered.
Yeah, there's some fucked up energy there.
But yeah. But you're also constantly concentrating on murder.
Yeah, that's
constantly
insane.
Like for that,
and the tension involved in the expectation of a TV show, dude. If I don't come, you know, if it's not entertaining, we're gonna lose our job.
None of them are entertaining, so that's not
okay,
valid.
Not a problem.
They're non-entertaining shows.
I get what
Here's
you're
every
saying.
Ghost Hunter show that's ever been: Night Vision in the basement. What was that sound? Did you hear that? Cut to commercial. That's every fucking one of them.
I don't know if we were speaking about frequencies earlier, but I think we were. Maybe the singing thing. But there's a theory this dude had. That low frequency sound, like crazy low, below 40 hertz, which is just like military experimented with,
like
it, just
dog
like,
sounds, like whistles.
This is below that. Yeah, they were saying buildings that produce this kind of frequency and machinery that does this, there's a correlation between haunted houses and these places because this kind of frequency can induce hallucination in people, can induce really erratic behavior.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Whoa. Well, no, same with there's love frequency. Yeah. There's the what frequency did Hitler have? He would.
Well, there's like the
vegetarian frequency.
What is it?
Vegetarian. That was what Hitler was, right? Vegetarian.
Sure.
He was.
Sure. Was he really?
Oh,
was
yeah.
He?
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
He was also an artist, and he had mommy issues.
Poor guy. You feel like if you got to him early in life, you could have prevented a lot?
I think he...
If you met him, like, when you guys were both 20?
Bruh.
We would have sang him Angel of Death, and he would have been like, you know what? I feel differently about the things I was thinking about earlier.
Maybe what you're going to do now.
Oh. Ooh.
That would be a good one for Hitler. Right?
You love that song,
man.
Thank you.
I love
Thanks,
you guys.
Jim.
I mean, we
it's
love you.
Cool to be friends with someone that you're fans with. Fans
Likewise.
Of. It's bizarre, you know?
Right back at you, buddy.
It's bizarre. You know? It's just...
We thought about you a lot when we were in Montana. We were in Montana for about 2 weeks.
Looking for Bigfoot?
Well, naturally.
Is that cocaine?
Yeah.
And
no, it was so beautiful. But like, you know, wilderness is everywhere and everybody's like, you know, if you go up here, you got to like be careful. Like we were in Wyoming, we were in Yellowstone and, you know, we heard so many stories, so many bear stories and things that like really freaked me out because, I mean, I don't have anything to defend myself. I would like to go into nature.
You got your wits, girl.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, though, about being cautious about nature. For the most part, the reality about animals, for the vast majority of instances, animals don't want to have anything to do with people. They want to get the fuck away from you.
Well, that's not true. But when we were in Yellowstone, so I heard all these stories about people, like, you know, people get killed by grizzlies a few times a year. And we were in Yellowstone, and literally a week later, there was a hiker that got nabbed by a grizzly bear. You know, it just depends on, it's like just bad timing. I never, ever want to put myself in that position of that. Like, I'll go camping here. That's fine. You know, I'll go camping in like Joshua Tree.
It's bad timing in a way, but it is also a lack of an understanding of the environment for the most part with a lot of them.
Sure.
But although one of the guys that got killed recently was a very experienced hiker. So man, I might have to take that back. You could fuck up and zig when you should have zagged, and the biggest fear is running into a mother.
Sure.
A mother bear with her cubs.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I can appreciate nature in a way that is, it's so fucking beautiful. And like, yeah. We drove through the park and it was incredible. But like, I don't feel like I need to sleep there and like, I can walk along the river by the car and I feel fine. And I know I might sound like a total fucking chotch right now, but I really like,
well, your
thought of being torn apart by an animal is utterly terrifying
to me. It's a very intelligent approach.
Yeah. But there's a beautiful thing, man. I think about being in that environment and experiencing that kind of caution and fear too. You're like, holy fuck, I'm a little bit more connected now. Because, yeah, I do actually have to be wary of something threatening to me as opposed to just emotionally.
You know what, though? I swear when you're there, that's not what you're thinking about.
Because well, that's what I was saying. We thought about you.
The
like
instances are so small. Mm-hmm. Right. And the reality of the beauty of it all, which is what the vast majority of the experience is beautiful. The vast, 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 vast majority. The times that I've encountered bears in the wild, bears don't want to have nothing to do with people. They want to get.
Have you seen grizzlies and stuff?
No, I have not seen grizzlies.
That's the ones I'm talking about.
Those are the ones that you have to be the most worried. But you just got to be prepared. If you bring guns, you know, you always have to be prepared. And you.
But you can
have to
shoot a grizzly and it'll still eat you.
But there's also
a lot of.
You have
to shoot a grizzly with the right kind of gun.
But you know how to shoot.
And you have to have more than one person, and right? you have to be ready in case that happens. But most of the time, you don't shoot them. You shoot at the ground and you scare them off, and they're like, "Fuck this," and they just get out of there. And then they go about. You can enter into the natural world in most situations and get out without having to do anything where something dies where it didn't have to die. But there are occasions where, like, I knew a guy who went hunting in Alaska, and they got charged by a grizzly bear and wound up having to kill the grizzly bear. You know, the grizzly bear tried to get at their kill. It was actually a mother. They would, you know, they just didn't want to have anything to do with her. Mm-hmm. But she just decided she was going to make a rush at them. And I've seen it on video too. I've seen them making rushes at people. Yeah.
You're going out to kill something in the wilderness, right?
I mean, you got
to
pick where you go. Honestly,
that's what I'm talking about.
Super dangerous to go where grizzlies are.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, the most scary places.
Glacier National Park.
They used to have that show on, I think, I don't know, it was Discovery Channel, whatever it was called, The Hunt. Mm-hmm. It was one where the guy from Metallica. James Hetfield from Metallica is apparently a big-time hunter, and he hunted, he's hunted all over the world, and he's, or at least a bunch of different species, there's all these photos of him, and he hosted this show where they were hunting for grizzly bears. It was like a really controversial show, because you don't really eat grizzly bears. I mean, you can, but they do not. Mm-hmm.
They're not endangered, but they're not doing great, you know, they're not like...
Sort of. They know how many they should kill, and they know how many they can kill. They like they have like this estimation that wildlife biologists just about to beat off, man.
Just loosening
his
up.
Pants up. Ben was taking his pants off.
We were in the Eagles talking
about grizzlies.
I were safe here.
But for the most part, they don't fuck with people. For the most part, they don't want to have anything to do with you. For the most part, they'd rather get away. They don't want to get shot. They just want to stay away from people.
Well, so when we were up there, you know, we're like hanging with the locals. And of course, like, I'm not from those areas, so I have all these questions about what's it like out there in nature. You know, you live in Montana, and, you know, we met this guy who was just, and maybe he was being dramatic, but he was telling me all these horrifying stories where I'm like, why would anyone want to put themselves in that position? And I think it's a matter of, like you said, being fully aware of the environment, having that preparation, you know.
I think
but
it's also the stories people tell, honestly. Like, you're in that area and there's like a whole culture of bear fear and things like that, and at least in certain areas. But it's just like, that's what we talk about. We talk about how this one guy who got killed in Yellowstone, but it's like, I don't think it's the kind of threat. I don't know why I'm reacting so strongly to it right now, but I feel like it's not the kind of threat.
It's because you smoke the cocaine weed.
Well, I don't think so.
It's not the threat right now, right here.
Yeah.
You know, when you're living in Los Angeles, the grizzly bear is not the threat. But you're smart to be aware that it's on the table if you're out there.
Well, Joe, I love nature. I love to fish. Fishing is one of my greatest passions. When I have the time to do it, I fucking love it. I'm learning how to fly fish. It's really fun. And I have all these goals of these places I want to go to, but they're places that scare me. Like, I don't want to be fly fishing, you know, for salmon and there's a grizzly bear across the river. Like, that kind of thing is like, and that's fine. I respect that. I will stick with the area that I feel safe in because I don't have a rifle on me. I don't have Joe Rogan with his, you know, acute target practice to, you know what I mean? So I think about this a lot because...
Well, you wouldn't want me, first of all. You would want someone who would be teaching me.
It'd be fun.
Whatever,
you'd
dude.
You'd want someone like some of my friends that I've been lucky to be friends with to take me to the woods, like Cameron Haynes or Steve Rinella, the guy who hosts that
Meat
Eater
awesome.
Show.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Like having friends like that.
That,
then that's like... That's the best way
to
be introduced.
Do you think they'd
want
to go fishing with me and just
yeah,
like hang out?
Yeah, they would take you.
I'm a lot of fun.
We've talked about that a bunch of times. Like we should do shows where we take people for the first time that have never been hunting because it's such a bizarre experience. Even if you don't shoot anything, just being in the woods in Montana makes you go, oh my God. Like it makes you realize like, wow, life is it's very different than what we've accepted. We've accepted that life is cities and life is, you know, Whole Foods and life is.
Well, here's the thing. Nature, if you want to talk about like going out to nature and life, nature is everywhere. Like we live in a city, but nature is everywhere. It's in the fucking middle of your sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You know, there are birds, there are crows, there are hawks. I mean, there's just so many, like it's everywhere. We live in the middle of it. Coyotes, mountain lions.
Well, we also, it's like we don't see nature a lot. So I think sometimes we look at nature like an old girlfriend that we haven't called in a long time. We only have this like really elevated idea of who she was. And then you get back with her and you realize this bitch doesn't give a fuck about me.
Damn.
It's like that because when you're on the top of a mountain and there's no cell phone service and there's animals creeping around, you're like, this is a fucking dangerous place to be standing still.
Funny. Yeah, it doesn't care about you.
You know, can I say something?
There's nothing
though?
Wrong with
doesn't
that.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, but
I think
it's mean.
that girlfriend is here though. Like I think there's this sad misconception with the way that people treat quote unquote nature when they drive out to a national park, as opposed to when they treat their urban setting, which is there is nature here, and but people don't think about the fact that they throw their trash out the window, and there's ducks in the pond right next. You know, all this stuff. Like you're still in nature even if you're in a city. You just need to treat it that way.
Well, the idea that we would look at the city as not being natural
itself.
The city not being natural itself is bizarre. It's all bizarre. The throwing of litter on the ground. Like when people wantonly open up their window and throw their garbage out the window on the highway. You're like, what? That guy just throw a bag.
Oh, man. Whenever we see that on the road, I just want to fucking
it sucks.
Punch him square in the throat.
It's so bizarre how many people do it. Well, they'll open up a window and throw a bag out. Didn't happen. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You just threw a Wendy's bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people are stupid.
Or just like, but
stop
especially
doing
like
that.
A little piece of paper, you know, like some fucking top of something, you know.
Even gum. You spit your gum out the window.
Yeah.
Gum is really bad. Birds eat gum. They think it's like a piece of food and then
first
they die.
Of all, fuck birds.
No. Listen, Joe.
They're on the way out.
Joe, you have chickens.
Are.
You
they're
love
on
birds.
Their way out. They're on...
You love
no,
your
there's
farm
so
fresh
many
eggs.
Fucking birds.
Listen, this
there's
is why it's really important if you're going to talk to me, you can't take me seriously ever.
I don't.
It's super important.
Cats
I remember
this is my position. My position is fuck birds.
When you told me about cats and you were like, cats are awful because they have the thing in there, they have the parasite.
Well, I didn't say it that way.
And then you have the cutest cats in the world and you
adorable.
Love them so much.
I do love them. They're sweeties.
That's a cute cat.
We just heard a new cat term called making muffins, you know, when they knead.
Yeah. They're so fucking
making
needy.
Muffins.
You like that, Joe? Making muffins.
My cats are fucking needy. Yeah, I would say it's more like pizza dough.
Okay, yes. That works.
When you call it pizza dough.
Just looking for reaction.
Joey Diaz had the best bit about that, about doing coke with his cat, and his cat was doing that paw thing. He had this hilarious bit he used to do about doing coke with his cat. But I'm looking out one window, he's looking out the other one. Oh. So
cats
so
are kind of freaking out a lot of the time. I think I kind of see that.
You know what? They're nature's cleanup crew, man. And the only reason you're alive is because you're way bigger than them. That's it. If you're smaller than a cat, it would fucking eat you. You can't have. You could have a dog and a pet gerbil, and you could teach that dog to not fuck that gerbil up.
Yeah.
You could teach that dog, hey, dude, listen to me, man. The gerbil, off the menu. Uh-huh. And the dog would be like, got it. Don't kill the gerbil. Gerbil's
I want
family.
It really badly,
you know?
But it's
how
fine.
Do you think dogs are with cats? Like, if dogs grow up with cats, they're totally cool with them.
I don't know, man.
But if they don't grow up with cats, they're fucking dangerous as shit around them. They'll kill cats all the time, right? Uh-huh. So they make these distinctions.
But he's saying cats can't
cats
get there.
Cats won't make the
we
agreement.
Who knows?
Cats,
we don't know.
Don't we
know.
Do
I mean,
know. Try
do
having
mean?
A pet rat and a cat in the house. Leave. Watch what happens.
I know, okay.
You're going to come home.
tried to have a rat.
Joe, when did you have a
be like, I don't know,
when
man.
Did you have a pet okay. rat, Joe? And you did the test with your cats. I want to know.
I've never had a pet rat, but I do know that cats, other than like a few breeds of like super fluffy Persians that get to that weird non-aggressive state. They're just these weird.
They're just bred to cuddle.
Yeah, they're genetic aberrations. Cats are fucking predators. They're predators.
It's
They're
amazing.
Ruthless.
But, you know, then you see these videos of, like, huge African lions in, like, these reserved areas of, you know, of Africa snuggling with the guys that work there.
Yeah.
I've
They're
seen it
nicer.
On YouTube.
It can happen.
Christian the lion.
Damn. If they're fed well... And they're taken care of well, yeah. and they're raised well.
That's
it's
fair.
Very obvious that there's some guys that know how to make a friendship
hungry,
with a lion.
You're starting to look fucking tasty.
But it's not that much different than the idea of a wild dog. Like, there was a few instances, like, I think there was one where a couple was killed in Georgia. I want to say it was like a couple of years ago by wild dogs. It was a pack of wild dogs that killed these people. Because people had let their dogs loose, and the dogs just never came home, or maybe they didn't feed them, and they became feral, or they were raised outside.
We've seen
I read
that
about coyotes
in the
attacking
South.
Someone, a woman in Canada, a singer, a
yes,
musician.
Yes.
Who's, you yeah. told us about that,
yes,
Joe.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was
ben,
killed.
You didn't read about that. Joe told
you,
us.
You might have read about it after I told you about
we
it.
We thought so. About Probably. That. We stayed at a winery on Saturday night. Actually, Joe, it was a really sweet Rogan fan. This fella that was like, you guys need a place to stay after the show. And of course we do. You know, you
wow.
gotta save
so
money.
There's photos of you guys in naked online now.
Truth.
While
Probably.
You were sleeping.
We have never been naked.
Everyone's
we
gonna
always keep it on.
We're never oh, nudes.
That's great.
Never nudes, man.
If you just operate like that,
under
no
my
one
underwear
has
are jean
on
shorts.
No sex, crazy no fun. Going on don't talk and you never say the wrong shit. Trust me, it's the way to go.
Oh, boy. Play it safe, guys. Play
no
it
talking,
safe.
Always dressed.
But we all slept in this fucking RV, and it was awesome. But there were like coyotes, and it was great. It was amazing. But you can hear they were right outside, and it was so loud, and they had this incredible like, you know, it's funny. But I thought I honestly thought about that story about that singer that you told us about. But the girl that
it's
was
terrifying.
Hiking, it's terrifying.
But we've got a pack. On the road, we got a pack. They're not going to fuck with us.
I would tackle coyotes
shovel.
For you, Ben.
You wouldn't even have
real?
To.
I carry a taser on me most times and a knife.
No, you left it in the car, like in a really weird exposed place yesterday.
Okay,
like,
let's not talk
said,
about
sorry.
It. It was one time, dude.
Taser lying on the fucking seat, almost zapped myself.
First
you
of all,
can't...
you have to turn it on properly, so you're fine.
Maybe you left it on. I don't know.
I didn't.
You can't be alone.
Well, with yeah, that's it.
I thought you were on the same team.
I mean... You can be alone what, on the same team, but...
She's talking about the taser thing. Sorry. Yeah, if you're alone, they're going to say, okay, there's a weakness here. We can exploit it. We're going to fucking do this.
And the girl apparently was really small. She was like less than 100 pounds. And
they just, that's insane.
That is terrifying.
And they were like, we could do this. We could just fucking do
that's
this.
So
and they
fucking
did.
Scary.
They did. Killed her.
We Would watch you... a lot of Planet Earth Oof. In the car in our travels. And... You know, there's.
It's, I'm still thinking about
no,
that,
it's man. Tough. Do you think that the way that you think about that stuff has changed now that you have kids? It's like, oh fuck.
It's just it's accelerated, different. But it was always there. It was always bizarre to me how dangerous the natural world is.
Yeah.
And how it's right
well,
there.
And how dangerously we fuck with it. You know, like we manipulate shit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm from Ohio, and there was this is fucked up. Check this shit out.
Okay.
In the Cleveland Metro Parks, where I'm from and where my family resides, there's obviously a deer population that's out of control, like a lot of places, and people get sick of hitting them with their cars. So they thought it was a good idea to bring coyotes in to deplete the deer population,
oh,
which
no.
they're not native to that area. So there's coyotes in Ohio now, which is so fucking weird.
It's, so
it's not natural. And like, you know, people start losing their dogs and they had like they don't think about those things. And I remember hearing a story
thought.
Of a,
who
a
did that?
Of a, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but who the a good family friend of ours was telling the story that her young children were playing in the backyard, as they always did. And she looked outside the window, and she said, there are two coyotes in their tree line. And she ran outside, and like her little kids were just playing there. But
oh,
people aren't used
God.
To that. You know, it's not like you live in Montana, and you know that there's bears there, and you know that there's wolves. It's like this new introduction of people
Predators.
Manipulating with nature, and it's not cool, man.
Well, there was a lot of times people were trying to right wrongs. Like, that's what they were trying to do with the wolf population, trying to right the wrongs, because they did poison wolves. There used to be more wolves. But I'm not exactly sure if you really want to be safe and you really want to have a city and civilization. I don't think you want a large population of wolves. I think it's probably super important if you want to keep this whole people thing going on at the level it's going on now, where we can get new Samsung phones every 6 months.
Oh my God.
I really don't keep think we can keep these fucking wolves around. Shit is the whole reason why we invented cities in the first place.
Remember,
these city people forgot.
Did you ever see that video about how wolves changed the
Yellowstone Park?
The rivers?
Yeah.
Like, they do serve a purpose, Joe.
Yeah, but the purpose is an odd one. The purpose is that of a predator, like this idea that only that one form of balance, but not necessarily, because you don't want lions in L.A. Okay, you just don't.
But there are.
But there's
not
mountain
ones.
But no, but they're cougars. They're smaller. They're more scared. But a large lion, like a 600-pound lion. Like, what if a few of them started living in L.A. and were like, hey, we have to deal with it, man. You know, what if they eat skateboarders? We would have to, like, accept the
that's
fact.
That's fine. You can eat the skateboarders.
They're a natural part of nature. They have to eat, too. But fuck that. We would kill those lions, okay? We would kill them all. If a lion ate your friend, okay, if you came home one day and a lion was eating Ben, what kind of an attitude do you think you'd have towards that lion? He'd be very upset with him.
Well, can we get a little more detail on the scenario? Because...
this is what happened.
Like,
we got
some crazy
hippie president that decided to... The only way for us to have total compassion is to open up the borders to all plants and animals.
I'm just trying to work on the balance here. I'm not an extremist.
Coyotes everywhere you look, killing kids, too many kids. Fuck it, we have to be a part of the solution. And he just brought in predators to take out people.
Up to date are you on Terminator?
Oh my God. We should end this podcast right now. That would be the perfect way to end it. I'm not at all. I've missed a boat.
Come on.
We can fill you in on 1 and 3 if you're interested.
Well, there's a new one.
We couldn't
one.
Find 2 anywhere.
Which one is the new one?
Is it just Blu-ray?
The new one just came out.
It's not out yet, right?
It's not out yet?
I don't know. I thought it already happened.
I think
happened. There's 5 of them.
I think Khaleesi from Game of Thrones is it.
I heard.
Khaleesi. Oh, wow. That really pretty girl, the mother of dragons?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. I'm not on speaking terms with the Terminator, but the problem is I could go back and watch those movies.
Yeah,
there's a lot of movies I need to watch.
Yeah,
but what would really bothers me about the Terminator movie in particular is that we might have like real Terminators.
That's what we're talking about, dude. That's why I wanted to bring up the topic.
50 years,
yeah,
it might be a real problem.
Yeah, people are talking about it.
Elon Musk, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Stephen Hawking.
They signed this letter to be like, we cannot have AI in on. But it's weird because they signed this letter. We can't have autonomous weaponry.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
And then, but they're also, at least Elon Musk is, but a bunch of these guys are investing in AI. So it's like, how are you drawing that line?
Because they probably want to be ahead of it, first of all.
Yeah.
And if you're in the tech business,
hedging their bets.
But if you're in the business, like if you look at, I mean, I'm just assuming that if you're a tech guy, like part of what it is about innovation at its highest form. Mm-hmm. Like what's innovation at its highest form other than artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
It's like the highest form of innovation.
Sure.
The creating of a life of some sort of a sentient being out of plastic and metal
crazy.
And
all this shit is crazy. 3D printing, like
what's the same discussion as the 3D printing stuff? This dude Cody Wilson came out and was like, I'm gonna print guns because someone's going to,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And then like, so you look at it and you say, well, it's something that we can't change. If it's something we can't change,
so
then
where
what is
are
it?
We gonna put our bunker?
Oh God.
Anyway, we're tiring. Woman. Joe's
yawning.
No, I'm just I'm terrified.
It's scary.
It made
Do
me
you yawn
I was
when
so
you're scared.
Yeah, I got so scared I yawned.
Bullshit.
No, it's not that I'm tired of hearing about it. It's that I'm scared.
No, it's
scared
crazy.
I think society, we hang on a string all the time. And it just we keep fixing that string. We're really good at keeping the string going. But we assume that the string has to stay. And we know that that's not really true. And that's why we love movies about where the string breaks and you, Mad Max, like, shit got crazy. Yeah. Where's the water? Uh-huh. Fuck. You know, there's no law. There's no rule. You have to fight to the death. I mean, it's Barstow, you know.
Oh, it's the worst.
If you go to Barstow
Sorry to say that.
And it's fenced it in for 10 years, it would be Thunderdome.
I
mean, there's spots where you could manipulate, take off, cut them off to the rest of the world. And they would be like that.
And
like,
there's places that are like that now. We keep saying that. You know, go to Africa. We got to go to Africa, Joe.
But I think if you went to Africa, I go, there's parts of Africa that are probably crazier.
Exactly. There's a great Vice piece on this place in Monrovia in Liberia where it's just like, it's a total wasteland. People are shitting in the streets. The governor or some high political official came down and shat on the beach just to be like, I'm one of the people. You know, like, this is how we're doing it.
That's what he did?
Yeah.
Like, to get votes?
Well, that was that before Ebola broke out? Because it was, like, people... That was part of the, like...
Shitting cause Ebola?
That was the... Well, yeah. It's all the unsanitary conditions and stuff. People living in filth. That's part of it. I don't know if that's... But, you know, can I... I really feel fucking really strongly about this.
It's dope, right?
Do we...
I was just looking at the clock.
You're pointing at the
clock. Is dope.
Okay.
You really feel strongly.
About... You know, we're talking about, like, hanging by a string and stuff like that. And, you know, oh, God, the government sucks and all this stuff. And it's all this is true. There's you know, you could click a button and just kill a lot of people. But at the end of the day, while we're here, there's some really beautiful things to experience, like your shows, comedy shows. And you make people feel good.
What about flowers? What about
flowers
waterfalls?
Are beautiful. I'm
don't
fucking going
people.
Down the list here. Let me have my moment. And, you know, there's all these incredible things. And, you know, something that we get to see on the road, like we'll have like our scheduled honey shows where you buy your tickets. And then occasionally we'll have these really cool opportunities to play like concert series that like small towns will have. Where they have no idea who we are, which is awesome because we went to this town in Dillon, Colorado, where literally like I would say maybe 10% of the people were there to see us, but the rest of the people were there because they lived in the town and they wanted to have their entertainment for the night. Uh-huh. And so there was all these different people. They were like really young families and really old people, and they all brought their lawn chairs and beers. And we were in this outdoor amphitheater on this lake. And there's, you know, I don't know, like 500 or 600 people there, something like that. And it, like, it was such a cool experience because there was this collective experience of all these people that came together for whatever they needed at the time. That wasn't like, you know, it wasn't about us. We were offering what we could to the situation. But at the end of the day, it was really beautiful because it was all these people that were having this experience together in their own way. And it was different races, demographics, and like, it was just, we had this moment and it was really cool. And I think right now when the world is in this really funny place, that's really scary, and we can put energy into how scary it is and all that stuff, but we can also put energy into these experiences together where we're trying to figure it out, you know? And like that, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think most of what people are fighting over has nothing to do with most of the people.
Yeah.
You know, most of the people in the world, what do we want to do? We want to just hang out with our friends, go to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to take over the oil fields. Most of the people just want to have a good time. Most of the people. There are a few people who like really want to push that whole making money envelope to the point where we want to invade countries.
Sure.
And that's 90% of what's wrong with us is it's not most of us. Mm-hmm. Most of us, and I think this is what we're able to do now that we weren't able to do before, is most of us can talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, like you can get whatever your message out, whatever your message is out, in a way that you've never been able to do before. So if you want to do it in a song, if you want to do it with an ebook, like you can get your message out. A poem? Don't tell anybody it's a poem. Tell them it's a rap song. I love you. Brownie points if you're white.
Oh my God.
Right? But I think, I mean, this is the best time ever. Like, people that say, oh, the world's falling apart. No, I don't. Damn it. I think it's always been fucked because it's filled with people. Mm-hmm. Like, the world's always been fucked. But guess what? People are fucked, and we're the best things on earth. Okay.
Yeah.
Turtles
no,
can
it's
suck
true.
It.
It's like,
oh,
it's,
damn.
It's like as light as it is dark.
If you went to an island with a bunch of turtles, you'd want to fucking kill yourself inside a week. If there was a million living beings on this island.
You commune with the turtles, Joe.
I was one with these
you
beings.
You commune with them.
Please, you'd shoot yourself right in the face. If I gave you two bullets, one of them was for the turtle that you were going to kill to stay alive for the first day, and the second one you're going to put right in your fucking mouth.
Damn.
You're like, I'm not living with turtles for the rest of my life. Not doing it.
How do
what
you prepare
the turtle?
The turtle? Do you have sriracha?
You just boil it.
I need to know.
You just have to bang rocks together to light up dry leaves.
Wow, you gotta get thought about this.
You're going to have to cook it just to make sure you kill the parasites. It's going to taste terrible.
My God.
That's a pretty awesome thing, that food tastes so good. If you're talking about the context of things, how the world's changed. Shit didn't taste this good.
No.
It tastes too good a lot of the times.
Food
and
is
we
an
get
art form now. Like, there's some art forms that have probably been around for a long time with food, right? Like, a lot of dishes. Like,
there's some, I mean, we...
Ethnic dishes,
We started to do some work with Farm Aid, which has been really cool. Mm. And learned a lot about, you know, the whole fucking structure of... You know, corporate food, corporate, literally, like all the hormonal shit. And, you know, you're fine. I mean, you've got your like moose and bear in your freezer. Like your meat section is covered.
It's delicious. Dang, glad you guys enjoyed it.
It's so good. But, you know, the majority of the food that people eat in their grocery stores, you go to Safeway or you go to fucking Piggly Wiggly. That shit is
Piggly
toxic.
Wiggly, damn.
That shit is awful. It is god fucking awful.
I don't think
and
it's
it will
that
give you
bad.
Cancer.
I don't think it's that.
Joe,
honestly, here's the thing about meat. Like, it's just
how
like
often do you eat that shit
in water?
If you ate that every day, your shit would be fucked up. You'd be like, why
I'm
do I have acne
convinced.
All of a sudden? You would freak out.
I'm not convinced. I don't know, because this is the only reason why I'm saying this.
But it's a shitty protein.
I don't know if it is or it isn't. See, I don't understand.
I can see that.
I just want to be honest about it.
Yeah.
I don't know like what you actually get off of a piece of meat. It seems to me, like logically, I am attracted to like a darker, richer meat because I feel like it'll be a healthier animal, a more
and
vibrant
logically
animal.
And sensually, too. There's something biologically being like, no, this is better.
But then that's why it's counterintuitive, because like a lot of the like really fatty cuts of meat are the ones that people enjoy the most.
You're right.
Like, that's why they like that wagyu, how you say it?
I don't know.
The Japanese version of beef where they
But wait. Are you talking about fatty versions of meat that have been processed to be
that
way?
Or
the
appeal. There's the appeal. Like why would they? I guess it was because like fats have always been super important because it was hard to get food.
Yeah, so and they help you digest too. They do a lot of shit.
But it also, like, you really wanted, like, the attraction to things that have a lot of calories. Like, that was one of the most important things where people are starving to death all the time.
Well,
you gotta have to get that fat.
Yeah.
And, like, fat was important.
Yeah, and big was, like, key. Big was like, we gotta be big.
Right.
But now, you know, it just shows you how these things change. Now, bigger is kind of fucking us over.
Well,
you know, it's like overconsumption. Blah,
people
blah, blah.
Are just so big now, too. Like, there was a thing on TV the other day about a kid who was a senior in high school. He's the biggest football player ever.
Whoa.
And he's a senior in high school.
Like,
he's 7 feet tall, 440 pounds.
Holy shit.
And he's 17 years old.
Jesus.
That's incredible.
It's insane. Like, we're going to go right to the fucking moon. We're going to scrape the moon with our heads. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to just keep getting bigger.
That's
people
insane.
People are going to be too big.
That's
people
insane.
They're going to run out of oxygen and start dying because they're going to pass through. They're going to get to a point 1,000 years from now where we're 1,000.
I would like to know more about that kid's diet and, like, what kind of supplements he's taking and stuff like that.
Right. What did he eat?
If it was some crazy lightning strike of like natural phenomenon, that would be incredible. And I'm totally open to that. But there's so many things, like, you know, like with processed meats, like girls are getting their periods at 11.
Are they though?
Yeah. I mean, that shit is fucked up.
What creepy fucking guy is standing there with a clipboard? Have you started to bleed yet?
Oh my
Margaret? Margaret, let me see your panties.
Oh my God.
Where do they keep Margaret?
Who is this guy that's asking these fucking period questions?
Well,
it better not
doctors.
Be a guy. It better be a woman. I hope you have a woman doctor that's not a fucking creep.
God, I hope it's not some creepy. You know what's
some
funny? The first
that
time.
Dude in
the
San
first
Diego
time.
That got arrested today?
No.
Well, he got sentenced to. This is a terrible story. This guy got sentenced to only 1 year of house arrest, and he pleaded guilty to fucking 8 of his patients while they were under.
Oh, man. Kill Bill in it.
Oh, that's terrible.
He only got a year of house arrest.
That's horrifying.
That's
people
really
people thought he was going to get 20 years. They thought
what's
he was,
his name and social security number?
I don't even want to. You'll let's, Google it.
Let's find him.
It's wow. awful. It's oh.
I was going to. I was going to say thinks... talk about an inappropriate story, but I'm not.
Oh, too late.
Like the great. First. Okay.
Here we go.
The first time I had like a gynecology thing.
Holla.
When I was like, 18. And it was a male doctor, and he was so hot that I, like, did not know what to do with myself. I remember being like,
wow.
So.
Why don't you?
Wow, that's a scene in a porn.
It really was incredible.
I had my pelvis zapped with an electric needle by a beautiful dermatologist.
Not the same thing.
On that note.
But what if the guy, did the guy look at it and give you a thumbs up? That's when it would have been really weird.
No, you should tell them about that.
About what? The guy wasn't
Wait
there.
A minute, I can't.
I wasn't there.
I can't accept while you are still in the building. She's going to go to the restroom. She might not want to talk about
you're
that. That
the,
might
no,
be
she
how she's
it,
trying
dude.
To get out of it.
Good point.
We can't hold her to the fire.
That's true.
It's a vagina thing.
That's considered.
If a girl's talking a story about a vagina, you have to either, it comes or it doesn't come. You can't like go, come on, delicately. What happened to your pussy?
And they don't love that? I think she'll love it.
They get mad. Yeah. What happened? Come on.
Well, this is kind of weird.
What happened?
Joe, what's up with your dick? What's up
what
with your
is,
cock?
What's, why is your, is your what's, dick happy? Or no?
Oh, boy.
So you're having a dick problem?
What's the deal?
The dick problem
dick
that, like, old
terrible,
people
dude.
Get or the dick problems that pedos get? What kind of dick problem are we talking about here, fella?
I had a Band-Aid on my dick once.
Vaginas are infinitely more sensitive to criticism. You know, like, you can make a joke about a dude having a stinky dick, but if you make a joke on stage about a woman's malodorous vagina,
sure.
you will be a terrible person. They won't have anything to do with you. Even if you're telling a true story, if you did tell a true story about a woman's stinky vagina, you would have to, like, really word it well.
You feel like it's a double standard?
Yes, I do. But it's
Let's
a right,
work
it's a
away,
good
dude.
One.
You got to start
no,
doing it. You got to lead the charge.
This is my thing. I don't think necessarily that all double standards are there because of inequality.
Okay.
I think some double standards are there because we want to quantify things instead of just looking at them as being completely different.
Sure.
You tell a dude
like
his
etiquette.
Dick stinks, and he goes, all right, I'll wash it.
But also, why, like, it's
woman.
Really got to be serious if you're
yes.
not up close to it. And you,
it might be stinky as fuck. It's very possible for your dick.
What the fuck are you guys
if you're,
talking about?
If you're
you
lazy,
help us with this.
You don't clean your dick, it's very possible your dick could be stinky
sure,
as fuck.
Sure.
The difference
is... Are we talking
is,
about uncircumcised penises?
What, I mean,
I'm
no,
sorry,
no,
I just
not
got
necessarily.
Back from
stinky dicks versus stinky vaginas. That a man saying a woman's vagina is stinky is like a terrible thing to do. It's like there is a double standard because it is different. It's a
what's
it's a,
maybe
it's
needs
a different
to be
experience.
Said, you know?
It's a more powerful statement
to a woman.
Yes, because if you tell a dude that his dick stinks, he goes, psh, "All right, I'll wash my dick." Like that's it. You know, once you wash your dick, it's clean. It's not going to continue.
I think
to
some
stink.
Dudes will freak out about it. They'd be like, "What do you mean? What's wrong with me?"
Those guys are babies. Most guys are just going to wash their
sure,
dick.
Okay, you're right.
But
wash
for
the
a
dick.
Woman, you're dealing with an internal flora issue.
Yeah.
Right? That's
sure.
what that's I mean, the issue of having any sort of a yeast infection. It's actually like it's life forms
uh-huh,
living
fucking,
in your cooter.
Uh-huh.
That's
what's the
way
same
more
with uncircumcised.
Same with I mean, your,
right?
doesn't your diet affect the smell of your jizz?
True. I've been thinking about
potency?
That for the last
Am I wrong?
Hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was hoping.
Well, we know it affects the smell of your pee. Right? If you eat
sure.
asparagus, you can smell your asparagus while you're peeing. I gotta assume that makes it into your cum as well.
Oh, yeah.
It only makes
yeah.
sense.
No, I think fruits,
wow, I go to the bathroom
lighter...
for like 2 minutes.
You brought up the gynecologist.
I did.
All right. So don't go throwing that around.
Ben and I
you're
were
right.
locking eyes with each other. It's just we went right into the toilet.
You guys want me to go pee again?
Felt that too.
We went right into the toilet, started talking about stinky dicks.
That did happen. Fuck. That is not the direction I like for us, Joe. You know?
Look, dude, it is what it is. It
right.
is what it is.
Live with it.
It's a funny thing. But
do you know,
I just think that's why it's funny. It's like it's ruder for some whatever biological reason. It's ruder for a man to mock a woman's stinky vagina in a cruel fashion.
Do you think that's out of insecurity? I think that's like a degrading thing that you want to like just sort of devalue a woman's
maybe
special place?
It's very possibly, but it's also equally negative on the other side when a woman mocks a man for having a tiny dick. Ooh.
It's not the size of the dog.
That is actually...
I swear by that.
Lies. But
no, that's
going.
Not true. Honestly,
but
some
but
of them...
But hold on, but a micro dick. If a guy has a micro dick. If a guy has a little tiny dick, like there's guys that have like micro dicks like that.
Micro cack.
And if
like
a woman is like...
Like a full-on chode?
Joe, what are you about? What
a tiny one, like a little one. I'm saying like a little terrifyingly small little dick. And if someone mocks that...
Well, what if he's really funny?
Well, that'll help. But it's less... offensive to make fun of a stinky pussy than it is to make fun of that, because I think a stinky pussy you can
be
clean up. That's right.
What?
That's right.
It.
All you need
Count
is some
it.
Acidophilus in your life, girl.
Questions
All you
answered.
Need is some wild kimchi. You know?
Oh my God.
You need some raw foods.
Damn.
Take care of your flora.
I hope That's that beautiful. My mom and dad never listen to this podcast.
Mom,
they probably will. They've been
listen,
mentioned
mom,
on it.
You know what's
They've been
up.
Mentioned
These
on
chairs
it.
Are fucking dope, dude.
They're not bad. Very good.
They really do help with the posture.
Ergo Depot. Shout out to Ergo Depot. They sent it to us. I was skeptical at first because I had one before that. It was like super uncomfortable. It was like one of those knee ones where you go on your knees. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Like you're on your butt in some sort of a weird way and you go on your knees.
Tough to get used to.
But they do make you keep a good posture.
Yeah.
And then I got this other one that was like a saddle. But then this dude from Ergo Depot hollered at me online.
That's awesome.
And he said, those are not good for long term. If like you're sitting at a desk for a long period of time, you need something like this. And he sent it to me, and I was like, but it looks like a regular chair. And then you sit in it, and you go, oh, shit. It's called a Capisco. That's what it's called. You sit in it, and you go, oh, yeah, I have perfect fucking posture.
Well, it's really interesting how they've done all these studies on your posture. Like,
on your posture.
Yours specifically, Joe. News grenade. People are watching you. And listening, but like the way your body language expresses you, like there's certain chemicals.
Like don't get crazy.
There were studies like if you sit like this, you know, there's this like power stance.
That's the dick forward.
Sure,
it's called the dick forward.
Is it? Are you just being?
No, when guys are, so I go. I put my feet up on the desk and I go dick forward.
No, that's, I'm not even joking.
It's like guitar too.
It's like a move.
It's above the dick.
It's like a horse dance.
But if you were to sit like...
Oh, that's is that true? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Wait, really?
Why did I not know that? Why did I not know that?
What do you mean?
No, he's being serious.
Sure.
You're serious.
Yeah.
I'm going with it.
I mean, sometimes...
Serious or not, it's serious now.
So dick forward.
Don't sell me down the river, Ben. Let me have this dream.
Dick forward. Or why don't we all just fucking sit back? But if you
well,
sat
dick
like
forward,
this,
especially if a guy has like maybe some sort of an alligator skin cowboy boots on, and he puts his feet down on the ground
or
in some sort
desk.
Of an office chair, you know what I'm saying? Some sort
it's
of a risky
like
environment, and then puts his hands behind his head, leans back, and goes, "Well, how much do you like this job?"
Let no, but, me know the, right but literally, now.
I'm about to go dick forward.
There's
hold
like,
on. Hold
there's
on,
like
y'all.
Chemicals released from that physical position. Like you're fucking, like shit's going on. For you. Like you're getting more powerful by sitting like that.
Like Thor,
I can feel it.
Like Thor with his hammer.
Yeah, you're just like Thor.
Well, hammers
out. They say that about smiles, right? That like when you smile, it
Fake
actually
it till you make it, dude.
It actually has an effect on your brain. It like gives you a certain amount of happiness. Now. My problem with that.
Or mean it.
I think mean it's possible.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's not sell ourselves so short.
Yeah, that's much
fake
better.
It,
that
how
way.
About fake it till you mean it?
Ooh.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, my
I
God.
Just
we
teared
have
up.
To sing a song. We went deep. We went deep.
Was it even that
we
good? I don't
deep.
Know.
No, definitely not that good. People at home are going, what
Joe,
the fuck?
That's a fucking t-shirt that we should sell. Fake it till
Fake
you mean
it. Till
it.
You mean it.
That's Boom. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, we're just
let's
enabling
make some money,
sociopaths. have no emotions. Pretend you do. They'll grow.
Yeah.
They'll grow. Water them with the tears of others.
Oh, my God.
Here's Honey yeah. Honey with their fucking new hit.
Your that tears taste delicious.
Yeah, this is a slam poem. It's even worse than a regular poem.
Have you ever been
I'm
to...
I'm going to say it in a voice that's not mine. Always here and always on time. Top of the mountain, bottom of the gully. I've been here before my friend Sully.
Didn't that have to rhyme, dude?
No, it was good.
That's the problem.
Splendid, strong.
I come from a strong immigrant background with a very good work ethic. You got to make some shit rhyme if you want to call it a poem. All right? You can't just say a bunch of shit. The lightning hits the thunder. I'm on the street. Why is it wet?
I never thought about that.
My father doesn't love me as much as he loves his new wife. As I get in my car, and I wish my tire wasn't flat, but it is. Deal with it. I can't. I try.
I'm like, dude, you're casting a spell on me.
My alarm wakes up. I wish my life was that interesting. Back to the grind.
Wow. I don't
know. It was a dream. It was a dream.
It's still going.
And then I light my cigarette. And everybody.
Yeah, but you captured us. You just captured us, dude. You captured us.
Then you have one single tear that's just like. You light your cigarette in this one single tear, and everyone's like,
"Can you
oh
fake cry,
God.
Joe?
Everyone
you,
has a bonus."
As an act in your acting days,
no,
could you?
But I cry like a bitch, man. I'll fucking cry. I get people get mad at me because I cry so easy, but I just get. I don't cry for sad things. It's a weird. I'm a weird person in that way.
Oh, you cry for
I
happy things?
I cry for like powerful things.
That's fucking.
That
awesome.
Makes sense.
Like sad things. Sad things make me really sad. But I mean, I can absolutely cry from them. But a lot of times, like involuntary tears, come from really happy things.
Like, that's beautiful.
Like I'll be talking to somebody on the pod, like Ronda Rousey when she was in here.
Oh, I love her.
Talking to her about her dad and her, you know, her dad committed suicide, man. And this chick that she was fighting in her last fight.
Oh, I saw it.
Said something that she interpreted as like she might kill herself like her father. And, you know, whether or not that was exactly what that girl meant, it didn't matter because that's what Ronda saw. And that's what she, and then she went out there and beat the shit out of that girl, and I was like,
"That
whoa.
Was fucking crazy."
But it was so crazy. It was like this weird moment in history. There was like this like I had this feeling for a minute that I was in this place that there's going to be a point in time. It didn't matter if the girl wasn't the right opponent for her. Like it didn't matter whether the girl was like in her league. What it was what had happened in this country. Where this chick had come overseas and just beat the fuck out of this girl on pay-per-view. And it's a girl. And then, like, so you have this crazy sport that everybody resists. Like, oh, my God, it's barbaric. It's masculinity. It's most toxic love. The biggest star is a hot chick. The biggest star. The biggest stars. Sweat this. The biggest star in the craziest, most violent sport the world has ever known is a beautiful woman who's highly skilled, who is a living Charlie's Angels movie, who flies to other continents to beat the fuck out of bitches. I mean, we're talking about a girl.
That's her job.
A girl who, if she decided to starve herself, she could easily be a model, right? She's beautiful. Instead, she chooses to get in a metal tube, fly to South America, and beat the fuck out of some chick on pay-per-view. And when you're there and you watch that happen, and you watch this paradigm-shifting moment, like, for me, I was like, whoa.
Did you cry?
Oh, I almost did then. I almost did when I was interviewing her, and a tear leaked out a little bit when I had her on the show, and I talked about it.
Yeah.
But I almost cried when I was talking to Conor McGregor. I was talking to Conor McGregor after he beat Chad Mendes when I was talking about Ireland.
Oh my,
wait, Irish people in the audience.
That was the show, Ben, in Vancouver.
You guys were in Vancouver while it was happening?
Wait, he fought, the guy was from...
Chad Mendes?
From California, wasn't
he?
Yes,
yes.
We literally, Joe, we watched that show from a sports bar. We didn't know who was coming to our show in Vancouver. And I said to Ben, I was like, I'll bet a bunch of people from this bar are coming to our show. And it was weird because it wasn't a market that we're really, you know, it's prevalent in. And I'm not even joking you. Like, 95% of the people that were at that show were Rogan fans. And they were watching that fight. So it was weird. Like, I...
You'd be amazed at how many parallels there are. Like, we all have these prejudices against people. Like, people that would be into, like, MMA wouldn't be into your kind of music. But you're totally wrong. We're all totally wrong. We're all scared. We're all like, you know, what we were talking about earlier about like the natural world. We're all like terrified of all the dangers of like, you know, when people didn't have the internet and they didn't know who the people were that were coming in boats.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
We have less and less to fear. We're more and more like each other. And we've realized that more and more on a daily basis.
Sure.
So like when the mergings of our sort of fans is like perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Like universally, the people that I introduced to you, I don't want to play you guys out. But universally, they love you. I mean, you guys are awesome. It's not like I go,
vice versa.
These guys suck. but they're cool. They're fun to hang out with. Uh-huh. No, if I tell you I love them, like I'm telling you, these guys, there's something going on. And if
it's, but you're telling people that in your community, a lot of the time they're really open people too. You know what I mean? That's plays a big role.
We didn't
role.
Think we could be. We thought we all thought that we like had issues with each other. We were all thought like that somehow or another you couldn't be athletic and also like books. Nobody wanted to talk to you about those books.
Sure.
You couldn't be into documentaries but also be into martial arts. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that because you were either like a meathead or you were a nuanced person who wasn't worried about physical activities.
That's
like you couldn't be both.
Dude, like people, it's so, I love that you just said that because like I play the fucking banjo and violin and people think we're a country band, but we fucking rock. Like Ben plays the electric guitar and we have like, it gets crazy. Word. And like, but then we'll be sensitive and
we
then
do
we'll
call
be,
ourselves
is it
honey,
fair
honey.
To say
and then
you
we call ourselves
are,
honey, honey.
Is it fair to say you guys are a Donnie and Marie for 2015?
Oh, Joe.
She's a little bit country. She's a little bit.
Nice. Hold on. Let me write that down. That was a good one. Fuck
I'm sorry,
you.
I forced that one in there too. It wasn't even good. I forced it in there. They were the first fucking like they were kind of like a hybrid band.
They're brother and sister though.
Did
right?
you ever see the SNL with
Lucy? They're Mormon?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
How dare you?
Wow, I'm so
Ben,
sorry.
They're so Mormon. Remember dude from
they
Desert
at me
Noises?
About it?
Dude from Desert Noises, his aunt and uncle, or his
you
want to
know
Donnie
how
Marie.
Mormon they are?
I'm going to
turn
up.
You on
to
something.
City,
I'm
going to
turn
Utah.
You on to something.
Hook me up.
Jamie, pull up the album of the Osmond Brothers. There was an Osmond Brothers album where they did, where they all showed their planets that they have.
When, planets?
Yeah. When you die, if you're a serious fucking hardcore Mormon, you get your own planet.
What?
Whoa.
I want one.
That's pretty cool.
Wait,
that's
what? What are we doing here? Why are we
one of their
our
albums
fucking planets?
Is like them, and it shows like Mormon mythology on the album, like planets and shit.
Wow.
Damn.
Like you get, how does it go? What is
down.
It, Jamie? It's you get a planet when you die. If I'm out of line, please. Jack I mean, Pop. If I paraphrased,
no, you did
but
great.
I'm pretty sure
the truth is coming.
Because I remember somebody showed it to me, and I almost blacked out because I was like, "Is wow. this real?"
Well, I'm gonna say something. I'm not embarrassed about it. What I don't know. I couldn't name a song.
Donnie Marie.
Oh, they had a lot.
And I'm,
they had a lot of hits. They're very nice. Like Donnie, especially, is like a really nice guy. He's very friendly. He's like a super, super, like, nice, easygoing guy.
That's awesome.
Like, when you're around him. And, you know, like, when I was a kid, I used to watch the Donnie and Marie show on TV. Uh-huh. So, like, to meet him in, like, real life, I was like, is this real? Like, uh-huh. It totally didn't seem real. Like, I'm meeting Donny Osmond. I'm like, what? This cannot really be Donny Osmond. There's no way.
I really hope after this we can
this is
boot
it.
Up the SNL with... Louis Marie Dreyfus.
This is it's
right?
called
Louis?
The Plan,
Louis?
Apparently.
Which one? The from Seinfeld?
Yeah.
What's going on with our
Julia.
Julia
Jesus.
Louis Dreyfus,
yeah. Sorry. Louis.
Oh my God.
We got some sort of an issue with our
but
imaging.
Did they have like a huge radio hit?
Yeah, they had Donny Marie had a big time show. They had a big television show.
It was like late
show.
Night, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
So it was more
like,
about the show.
I feel like it was like a one night a week variety show, if I had to remember like correctly. Dig deep into my memory banks. But they would have like singers on and they would sing. She would sing, I'm a little bit country. And
right.
he would be
oh,
like,
that,
and
call
I'm
that
a little
song
bit
out.
Of
yeah.
rock yes. and roll.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like,
that's
and they
us,
would have
dude.
This thing.
We're kind of working towards
ben
that.
That's it,
is
dude.
Is my brother?
I think I think it's The Plan.
Surprise,
and then there's
people.
The inside of the album that has all sorts of like.
It says going home with that hand.
The hand that holds the earth. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's the inside? Yeah.
Going home. Going
interesting.
Home. Is that their home?
But whatever it is, that Mormon thing, whatever it is, it made Donnie Osmond a very nice person.
Wow.
He's very nice. I mean,
that's
so
kind
this,
of the
is there a message
the
in
stereotype.
Here? Or?
I don't know if it matters. Don't know if it matters. I think in the end, being a nice guy like Donnie Osmond is more important than knowing exactly how stars are made. Knowing how planets are formed in real life, it doesn't really apply to the real world because it's a super slow process, and if you dwell on that, you don't have any time. There's no room. You
Joe,
can't fit that in there.
A planetary question. Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm reading this book. It's talking about all this gas, all this matter, just boom, colliding together and falling into orbit of the sun and becoming this planet that we're on.
Right.
So why is there heat? Why is there a ball of fucking fire? in the middle of it? Where
That's
did that
super good question
come from?
No idea.
Me neither.
I think it's like fairy dust and leprechaun cum.
Love it.
That's what I'm comes talking together. About.
The fairies and leprechauns, they each fuck a separate tree.
And it forms a crystal.
Fights to the death
I'll take
in the
that.
Center of the earth.
And it takes six Texans to change a light bulb. Because
what?
The one
they don't need
seventh
light
one
bulbs.
has to watch the crystal.
We don't need light bulbs. We like candles around here. like to go old school. Ride horses, yeah. light candles.
Burning wax.
We drink whiskey.
Oh my God.
And we shoot intruders.
They're dangerous. They could be threats.
I just became really self-aware of everything that we're talking about.
This Welcome. Might be the most fucked up we've ever been on one
no,
of these podcasts.
No, last time equally fucked up.
Us?
No, because last time I smoked weed and I was like, boo, just flatlined for like a couple minutes.
So when you smoke weed, it makes you introspective?
It makes me...
like an introvert?
Very introverted and tired. Like, I don't know. I'm not good at it. But also, But it makes me sleep, which is great because I have a really hard time sleeping.
Right.
So I think that's something I have just a chemical reaction to it. I've tried, dude. I've fucking tried.
No, I hear you. Listen,
you guys
I hear
are
you.
So good at it. You shine. You really shine.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
You know
who the fuck knows what it does? I mean,
Ben
I know people that
really
I know people that can't drink coffee.
Interesting
if things. They have a cup of coffee, they feel like they're gonna have a heart attack. They just can't do it. They just for
it's,
whatever
well,
reason.
Coffee's really weird. Like I'll have a cup and I will just like peak, and then I'll like if I have too much, I'll crash and they get really sad. It's but like for like the 2 hours, I'm just super productive, like emails and shit. Everybody does that. Are you making fun of me?
No. Yes.
If I knew how to
yes,
put you in a headlock. I would do, but I think
I'm totally making fun of you,
it's
but not for
one,
real.
Right?
That's the one. You do like a karate chop, though.
How do you
want to turn
the
wrist, turn the back of the hand towards the back of the head. No, the other way, his head. The person you're choking, spin your hand, like left pinky down, left pinky down. Keep going. Now make like a karate chop with your hand.
Yeah.
Make a karate chop thing, like you would karate chop, like straight hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Now, that's what you're sneaking behind their neck.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze down on that. That's how you do it.
I can fucking do this,
yeah,
man.
You
gotta,
you do it, the hand on the back of the neck, it goes into like a karate chop position like this. And what that does is it gives you maximum leverage.
Fucking take it.
You can do it.
This.
If you do get under someone's arm, you could totally choke a guy to sleep. 100%.
Thank God.
There's a lot of women. Like if it came to the difference between like a woman who's like a kickboxer defending herself with the same amount of experience in the gym as a woman who's a jiu-jitsu black belt defending herself, it would be, in my opinion, I would favor the woman, like her ability to dominate a much larger opponent using only jiu-jitsu skills over, especially for women, I think. I think because jiu-jitsu is the most technical and the most positional and leverage-based of all the martial arts. And it's sort of like, compare it to like getting in an argument with someone who doesn't know English very well. Like if you were having an argument with someone and they were like really shitty at English and they were just slowly, you'd be like, "What? What the fuck are you talking about, dummy? What do you say? Spit it out, stupid!" Like it was a mean person.
You fuck go to yourself.
Right. Well, that it's the same way with jiu-jitsu. Like if you knew the language of jiu-jitsu so well and you had some dumb dude that was trying to grab you, you'd be like, "Yeah, fuck you." And like you'd be like some crazy ninja chick on his back choking him. That is absolutely feasible. Whereas like with striking, the real problem with that a lot of women face is the actual physical size of their bones. Like when you're punching people especially, like unless you have your hands fully wrapped up like in, you know, a good boxing wrap and then a padded leather glove on top of that, it's hard to just punch people in the face if you're unless you have a good sturdy
thing,
build.
We're not like I'm not in a position where I'm going to have an actual battle with someone yet.
You don't know that.
I don't know. You're right. But at the
well,
at
do you
want
to do it for competition or do you want to do it for self-defense?
Self-defense. I mean,
But see, then you can't say that because that could happen
on the way to the grocery store.
Oh, my God,
you could run into some crazy methed up chick who wants to fucking duke it out.
Literally.
You fucking cunt! There's some times where, like...
We're doing this.
I wish I had the fucking manpower, literally, to... Like, we were in Nashville, like, 2 weeks ago for Americana Fest. We were playing this festival, and we were driving under this bridge, and there were these two guys... beating the fuck out of each other in the middle of the street. There was like a bottle over the face. This one guy was choking the other guy.
Good technique or no?
It looked terrible. It was sloppy. It was sloppy. It was sloppy crackhead bullshit.
It's one of my main puzzles.
But it was like, obviously we called the police. But like I had this moment where I was like, I wanted to do something. I'm like, what the fuck can I do? And I literally leaned out the window and I went, stop it! Stop it! I don't know what to do, and I call the police. But like, if I were a ninja,
I would have definitely stayed in my car.
Right,
100%.
Listen to me.
Yeah. Listen to me. If you're driving by two people beating the fuck out of each other, you are not there. Okay, you are in a car. You are in a car. Just because it's right in front of you, that shit could be 100 miles away, unless. Unless there's someone in that mixture that needs you, like if there's someone who's small and they're getting beaten up by someone big, then everything changes. But if it's two fucking dudes,
well,
you'd
be like, was like choking
you fuck
the
my
other
pig.
Guy.
Hey, your pig, you owe me that pig. And then they're fighting in the street. Just
pigs
drive.
Are for fucking.
So my point is, don't always stop.
Just kiss already.
Don't always stop. Sometimes you gotta let two dudes beat each other to death. It's better for everybody. It's certain. People,
That's fine.
Just give them both rocks and push them near the edge. Go! Let them fall. What are they gonna do? They're gonna stay and keep coal mining? You gotta keep moving, okay? Genes need to flourish. They need to find better streams of diversity.
I appreciate the perspective.
That's what I'm saying, man. Don't always stop fights, but some fights you have to stop, right? Right. The classic is a man beating a woman.
There was a man beating a woman. There's a small battle in the front row of the Honey Honey show the other day in Long Beach.
Don't like that.
I don't like that either, but I also think it's amazing
it's
because guys.
Come on, guys.
You're at a Honey Honey show.
Don't
hug
each other.
It's like, it sounds.
There's some of that.
Look, we're fucking hardcore, but also we're fucking lovers. And like, it was amazing to have these dudes were fighting. And I was like, fuck you, motherfucker. And I was like, guys, one of you has a Honey Honey t-shirt on. I just want to be like. Let's think about this for a second.
I hate that expression, pro tip. Whenever someone tells you that they're hardcore, they're never hardcore.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
That's
and like,
fair.
When that expression, we're hardcore.
But
that never comes out of the mouth.
But Joe, check this out. Like, because you cry sometimes. Like,
yes.
You're just as hardcore as you are soft.
No, I think you're equal parts, dude.
But
I will never claim hardcore. I've never claimed hardcore.
Softcore?
I don't say it. I'm more of like a medium core.
Medium core.
I believe I'm balanced. I'm all about longevity, balance, thought.
I support that.
Constant assessment of the path.
Kind of gummy.
Don't try to run the furthest. Try to make sure you hit the least trees.
Nice.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I think it's like super. It's super important to
so
evaluate
keep your arms close to your
the
sides.
Next few steps. Well, I think there's a lot of fucking continuing the same patterns that have got people into the positions we're in now.
Watch the flailing.
A lot of flailing.
Yeah, let's not do that.
That's a great
Dangerous.
Word, too. It's perfect for it. It
paints
sounds
the picture.
Like what it looks like. Flailing.
No, it's true.
Right? Flailing is like one of the best words ever. Descriptively.
That's a good one.
Like you
I
fucking
flail all the
flailing
time.
Spastic. If you call someone a flailer.
Uh-huh.
Damn, you got him.
It's true.
Right? What are they going to say?
They take them down.
Fucking hardcore, bro.
You're a flailer.
Dude, you're flailing.
Yeah.
You're just running, flailing.
The minute
screaming.
You use that word, they crumble. And they're like, you're right. I know.
It's
I'm
definitely
sorry.
A word that like forces you into a bad position, you know?
Sure. It's a very unsturdy word.
There, I think that's how you
flailing is not like, oh, you've got your footing. It's like, you're fucking falling out of control. Let me hold you.
I think conversations are in a lot of ways, they're like numerical exchanges. Like, you know, you say something that's 30, And she goes, oh, this bitch wants to get crazy. And she says something that's 37. And then you might just ratchet it right up to 90. And everybody's like, what in
you're
the
like,
fuck?
What happened to 40, 42 and 1670? Yeah.
But if we take away the cultural context of the word, she calls me a cunt. My mother told me, don't ever let a girl call you a fucking cunt. If a girl calls you a cunt, you stab her. You stab her in front of your mother. It's fucking to the death. To the death.
Cunt is a big word.
But what are those things? What are those moments? Well, those really take away the cultural context. There's a numerical value to the expression. Like that girl hit you with a 90 bomb. Uh-huh. You're a cunt with a stinky pussy.
No!
That bitch tried to cut to the bone.
Oh, man.
She tries to go through your emotions to get to your fucking nervous system and start chiseling in there.
I do that
chipping
sometimes.
Away at the fucking... Do you do that?
Occasionally, yeah.
But I think that's what
it
is.
It's a dark place.
If you look at it not in terms of like a conversation between two people that are being mean to each other, mm-hmm. like throw all that stuff away. Throw out all the cultural framework that we have. You're watching a number exchange. Mm-hmm. You're watching people play a game.
And a sound exchange too.
Yeah.
I keep trying to fucking get it to sound.
It's a competition. But, it's a competition. There's a social competition involved in people being mean to each other.
Oh.
I really think that's what a lot when people's like, you know, someone hits you with a 32 and you hit them with a fucking 40, mm-hmm. you're like, whoa, I walked away on a 40.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going to fucking keep going, but I decided, nice clean kill. There's a competition. You'll go back to the water cooler, you talk about it. This fucking guy comes up to me and he says, well, one day maybe you'll be a manager too. I'm like, bitch, you don't think I know your fucking dad owns the company? Are you out of your mind?
Ooh.
If you had to live in my life.
Specifically, what are you talking about?
They'll shut the door, they'll lock the fucking lunchroom, and they'll have these deep conversations. I told this motherfucker, if your dad didn't own this company, you'd be buried under my fucking house. You understand me?
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God.
That's what people do. So they go through mm-hmm. But what are they doing? They're number exchanging. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're trying to win some stupid social game.
Then we do that sometimes, but then we're okay with
it. Well, it's all dynamic.
Oh, she just got real with you, bro.
Word. Okay, sorry.
No, we fight hard.
We fight hard.
We had a big fight, like last week. I got out of the car, took a long walk.
Damn.
Thought I was going to take the train to the next city.
You need a manager. You need me to travel with
you. No,
you
know what?
Do it. We'll go to Africa.
Can I be honest with you about something?
What?
Ben's
a cunt.
She hates me. She fucking hates me.
She's pointing. Can I be honest? This fucking guy.
This guy's been following me around.
You're right. I spent the better part of the last 10 years with you because I hate you. No, but it's true. You know, it's something, the numbers game. I have a temper, for sure, you know, and some triggers, as do you, you know.
We all have tempers. It just takes different things to get there.
But the maintenance of this band that we're in requires a certain frequency, your fucking favorite word today, if we don't exist in that, there can be an imbalance, and then it can build into this fight, and then we'll fucking fight because we're in a fucking band, but like,
because we're two people that spend
so much time together.
And go through all these incredible experiences, but there's a certain...
And finish each other's sandwiches.
There's a stress that comes along with it. You know what I mean?
You're traveling,
you're doing these shows, or just living, whatever.
But my relationship with the comedians that I work with is less intimate because we don't share... We very, very, very,
same,
very rarely...
Same sandwiches.
...share a stage at the same time.
Yeah.
And we don't have to practice together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, it's a totally different experience, I think. Because it's like you guys, if you have a bunch of friends that you consistently tour with,
mm-hmm.
you know, that were not in your band. Like,
it's very, very, talk about numbers, having the right combination of people. Because we're in a used Cadillac Escalade, 2007.
This is how all good romance novels start.
And there's room for about four people. Save for a girlfriend, every once in a while our drummer's girlfriend comes out, or possibly
that
our
bitch.
No, she's great. She's really great.
Right.
She's very sweet. Joe, don't do that. We need to have a happy home.
First of all, I'm sure you're a wonderful person if you're listening to this.
Yeah,
I'm just joking. I'm not talking about you at all. I couldn't possibly be talking about you. I don't know you, and they haven't said nothing wrong about you.
We're covered.
These are just jokes.
You know, you have this like combination of personal space and
that cunt who keeps talking. Oh, shut up.
She's trying to read my text. Oh, my Listen, God. You fucking bitch. Oh, this is God. Your side really... of the bus. This is my side of the bus. You wouldn't even be here if you
Joe
weren't.
Joe made and broke being... Honey Honey.
It is. These are jokes. I'm just joking.
No, but it's
sure
funny
she's
because
nice.
Like we fucking like we will fight and then we'll have these great experiences like where we just you have to like work your it's like we're all married. Everyone in the band, you know, it's like you spent so much time together to this point where like I know with by the way that Ben breathes sometimes that like oh he's really fucking mad or
sometimes
he needs a sandwich
or you're just like, creating drama with your fake psychic powers.
We have psychic fights. We have psychic fights.
I know you're mad at me. Now spit it out. I'm mad at you now.
Joe, please come on the road with us. Please. Listen,
you guys need more people to bounce off of. You need to get annoyed at me every now and then. You're like, tell that fucking guy to just turn it off. Turn it off. No more jokes. No more funny.
No, but we have good dosing. You know what I mean? We see each other every couple months.
I honestly do think it's like eating meatloaf every day when you're with the same person every day. Like, you want to meet new people and do, but you guys are achieving something that you couldn't achieve if you're just in this, like, crazy life where you went one way and you guys got this weird thing going on because you have this weird, you have this artistic synergy, I would say, in that, like, you're both very different, but you're also very. You're very cool to each other. Like, as much as you guys get in fights, like, when you guys are nice to each other, like, I can see, like, when you guys interact, that you genuinely love each other.
Oh, yeah.
And you're genuinely friends. And if you do say something a little mean every occasionally, you're genuinely sorry. And you genuinely care and love each other.
No,
so
it's,
when you
it's,
guys
it's,
do that, but it comes out. That comes out in your music. You guys aren't, you're not day players on a fucking sitcom pretending to be in love with each other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys aren't like fucking guys that studio musicians they brought in never met each other and they're going to lay down a track. Now, you guys have been doing this and you have like this thing you're doing together. You know, there's this you're all you have to deal with the fact that you're so intimate with each other. Like you're going to annoy the fuck out of each other. You are each other. I mean, you guys are...
It's fucked up.
You can totally move on
up.
With your lives. If it gets
it's
too
beautiful
crazy,
and fucked
you
up.
Totally could. But right now, you can't. Because right now, you're like almost one person.
Wow.
You guys are almost like one like really well spread out person.
You just saved me so much money in therapy, I can't even tell you. I'm glad because I can't afford it.
It's too good. It's too good together. You guys are too good together. It wouldn't work like that with other people. It would be different. It would probably be equally awesome for both of you. But don't let it happen. Because what you guys have right now, you've hit this, whatever this thing is. You got this ball of focus and experience and musical knowledge and love. And it's all coming together with your own specific creativity. And you guys are just, and you're putting out these songs that are like, whoa. Like they're not, like they keep getting better. Like your shit keeps getting better. Like you have your old stuff was awesome, and then your new stuff like grows, and some you're putting layers on these things. So look, you gotta be friends. You should do ecstasy every few months. That's the move. Every like 8 or 9 months,
thank
just
you,
set a weekend aside where no one is gonna touch their cell phone. Just do a little Molly.
You know
right,
what?
Get it from
like
a
that
good
sounds
source.
Like you're joking, but honestly,
I'm not
you said a lot of really beautiful things, and it's something that. Is nice to hear. Thank you for saying that. Like,
well,
you know,
you
it's
awesome.
A weird life we live in.
Yes, it's fucking
there's
hard.
A lot of instability and, you know, but like it's funny, like when we fight and we go to our separate corners and if it lasts a while, like it's weird. There's
I'm
like
sure.
real darkness.
But it's weird, but it's also part of our dynamic, you know, and it's, I think that's part of all what you're saying, you know? Like,
well,
it's
you
all,
know,
you can't exclude certain parts of it, you know?
And if you guys had some sort of a specific relationship, like if you were brother and sister.
It would be so much
we
easier.
We have the same parents, those parents fucked,
weird.
And they created us, uh-huh. and now we are children, and this is my cousin, uh-huh. this is my cousin Ben, yeah, his mom is my brother's sister, uh-huh. and that's why we're friends, you know? But when you're family... with someone who you're not really family with. Like, I'm family with a lot of people, and not all of them are related to me. Mm-hmm. I'm family with a giant group of people. You guys are clearly family. You guys are family. So whatever happens, like, you have to, you're always going to have to deal with that. It's just not defined. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not husband and wife. You're not mother and son. You know, it's weird. Mm-hmm. You're not father and daughter. You're not brother and sister. What's the noise I need to make with my face that means you guys? And if you don't have that noise, oh, you guys aren't married? Wow, do you think he's ever going to come in? You know, like those fucking, the people go through that kind of shit in relationships where they're like, just what noise do I have to make that changes your perception of what this is? Because what we have to, it has to be defined. And then what the fuck, what's the definition of a band of really, really close friends that make awesome music together? What is that? What is that? What is that? You guys two wizards? A wizard and,
we'll
a,
take it.
And a witch? We'll take like, it. What the fuck are you? You know? Like you guys, you travel all across the country together. Okay, what do I call you? What do I call you guys? Are you guys accountants together?
Gandalf,
like,
Gandalf.
Is it? Are you married? Is it a Mr. and Mrs.? No? Is it a non-gender specific designation of some sort of contractual agreement? Like, what is it? What is it? Oh, we're just in a band together. Like, we love each other. What? Oh, what the fuck are
Joe,
you saying?
Joe, you're like this like angel man that came into our lives or something. Please. I don't fucking know.
And you guys to me. I remember the first time I watched your video when you guys did that Angel of Death acoustic version on the roof. I was like, whoa.
That was a while ago. Like, we've known each other a long time now.
What was the dude's name? It was a crazy name that told me about it on the internet.
Balls of Steel.
Yeah. That's right. No one still we don't know who that is.
He knows.
We don't
all
even
that
know
matters.
If Balls of Steel
he's
is
like
alive.
He's like a fucking superhero. He has this knowledge.
It's crazy.
Oh, he's alive. He's definitely alive. I've had a few people, you know, that's one of the cooler things about being connected to people on social media. They'll connect you with something that you probably never would have heard of before.
Oh, you know? That's amazing.
Just for you guys, we became friends, you know, in a strange way. So that's it.
Yeah, it's been amazing, man.
Weird,
and it,
right?
And it totally changed our band, honestly. Like, it changed us from being, we can tour the country now, honestly. And this has been a huge part of it.
Huge.
Well, this is the way I look at, like, all podcasts, honestly. It's like the idea of taking credit for the ocean when you accidentally stumbled upon an opening that turned something into a river. Like, that's like everything that everybody extracts out of what they find on the internet is essentially like you found a path, you hit a button, you pull a lever, and a river opened. You know, whether it's a river of Honey Honey songs or Sturgill Simpson or Tom Segura or Joey Diaz. You're like some guy who's trying to take credit for the ocean because you figured out this. If you hit the switch, it opens it, and the river just runs into the villages. And then everybody finds out about Duncan Trussell. And you just keep hitting these switches. And, like, so I can't take any credit for it. All I did was stumble upon some switching station for all these, like, super talented people.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah. But it's a cool thing that you're looking for switching stations.
Not even looking
for it.
No, and
I think
that's
it's
what's fucked up about it.
Yes and no. You totally are.
It serves a pretty pertinent purpose for where we're at right now. It's pretty cool. And it's really great to witness the effects of what you do and at the switching station when we're out on the road and all these incredible, incredible fucking people that come out that, like, just love you and really learn from the things that you say, you know?
Well, they love you guys, too. Somebody had the flower Honey Honey shirt at one of my shows the other night.
The grandma flower. I have that tattooed. Right?
It's
a grandma
flower. Shazam. You know how many dudes, we're going to freeze frame that and jerk off?
That's fucked
to the
up.
End
let's
of time.
Not, let's just move on.
That's how it works.
That is beautiful.
That makes me feel funny.
But kind of in a good way?
Well, I don't know. I haven't decided. Yeah.
Make it good.
Connection with nice people online is like one of the most promising like hints at what's possible for the future. Like, there's this idea that because online is anonymous and anonymous means you're always going to be mean, that's not the case. Like, you're always going to get a certain amount of people that are shitheads, but those people, quite honestly, almost all of them, they're damaged and hurt people who got fucked over in life, and then they're trying to take out all that on all these other people. I mean, that's the vast majority of what's going on. But the amount of noise per capita is so high amongst cunts. It's so hard because most people don't post anything. Uh-huh. Most people who think you guys are awesome, who've listened to this podcast, who've listened to your songs, they don't say a word about it. They don't tweet about it. They'll come up to me at shows and they'll just tell me, "Oh my God, thank you guys for introducing me to Honey Honey."
Really?
Yeah. All the time.
Cool.
All the time.
That's awesome.
They don't say. They never say. You know, I tweet about them all the time. No, the people that are tweet about, they'll say like mean shit, or they're just
well, you know,
they're the freaks.
It's funny, like when you talk about like damaged people and stuff. Like we have the song called Bad People that like
love that song.
Thanks, man. But you know, it came from this fascination with like, why are people so mean? Why are people doing shitty things? Like, why do you bust a car window and steal somebody's shit? Why do you?
Because you need their shit.
Why do you? Well, that's one way. But like, why are you sinister? Why are you? You know, poisoning the cats in my neighborhood. Like, there's this fascination with where that fucking comes from.
Right.
And we wrote that song, and like it was just kind of hanging out for a while. It was really like thinking about it for a long time, you know, just why, how, when do you turn? Were you born that way? Were you born into it? Like, because bad people come from nice families all the time, and incredible people come from fucking shitholes, you know, they crawl out of a hole. But I don't know if there's any one answer to it, but I just, all I can say is that there's a fascination with where it comes from. I don't know, but like,
what do you think is more common? Do you think it's more common for really nice people to come out of total shithole environments, or for really nice families to have an asshole for a kid?
I think that inspiration can hit someone at an incredible phenomenal rate when you just don't even expect it. I think you can have information just like slammed upside your head in like an instant, and it could be the littlest thing. And I don't know. I know that privileged families have a comfort that unprivileged families don't have.
Right.
You know, and there's just a completely different perspective on need and hunger and emotional hunger. You could be emotionally starved in any scenario. You could be
I think
poor, you know what I mean? Like,
shapes so much of who we are, you know, and you can have a bad experience in any context. It doesn't matter if you, you know, what your, I don't know, your social status is. You can still have a bad experience, you know, and it can still shape you. And it's what do we value? You know, I think in general, we have good values, things to be excited about. We value kindness and generosity and things like that. So it's rare to see someone, and I don't know if I necessarily believe it, that someone who comes out of a series of good experiences just, boom, will do things, unless there's serious psychological malfunctioning. It's like, you're going to treat people as a reflection of your environment.
For sure. But I think we also have this need to say it's this or it's that. You know, it's a disease, or it's his DNA, or it's...
It's never that clear-cut and dry.
Right. I think there could be a lot of factors. And I think a lot of factors in your environment, especially your experience, they can kind of push your genes. They can push the expression of your genes,
you're fucking genetically predisposed to things that weren't even taught to you. Like, you know, like your anger or your, like, addiction or whatever. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, everybody's got their suitcase, and we need to respect everybody's suitcase. Because, like, what might be a shitty day for me could be, like, the worst day for somebody, or vice versa. You know, you never know what someone's volume level of their you know, capacity for stuff is. And you got to respect that. You know, like, I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to get, but like, I had a bad day with blah blah blah, and like, someone's like, oh yeah, my father killed my sister, you know. Oof. Like, you don't know.
Damn,
like,
wow,
like that, and that could be their worst day. And I'm like, oh man, I thought my day was bad. But at the end of the day, like, everyone has a different volume of what they're capable of experiencing. And if you're not capable of experiencing it, you'll die, you know. Like, you're just like, you have as much as you can take, and then if you can't take it, you're like, that's what you're.
And even if you don't die, it's like, what are you? You know, what are you if you're not experiencing anything? Even if you're not dead, if you're just alone, silent in a room, you're like that lady that killed all those people and then they left her alone in the castle.
But that was her suitcase,
cemented,
you know?
Up room.
That was the suitcase she had to carry.
Yeah. If you're not experiencing anything, you're barely alive, though. That's one of the tricks of being a person. If you're not experiencing things, if you're not having ups and downs,
that's
and reevaluations,
why you gotta go outside your comfort zone.
But we're,
get weird.
You don't
go
have
to Austin.
To. You don't do that. Don't buy one of those shirts. Let's
keep
fucking
it weird.
Keep Austin weird. Yeah. Keep Portland weird.
Portland, I was going to say Portland.
Don't do it. I know, and it's not your fault.
If you were about to buy it, going, this fucking shirt rules. I was going to buy it.
They've never seen it before.
Yeah, if you've never seen it before and if you're really young and you have a head injury, you think that that is, I'm just kidding about the head injury. These are jokes. But if you're a young person and you don't know how ridiculous it is to have a shirt on that says Keep Austin Weird.
Yeah.
It's the same font in every shirt and it pretends it's handwritten.
Well, it evolved in a bad way. At one point it meant something really important.
Not really, because the people that were crying about keeping Portland weird were fake weird. Whoa. All of them, every one of them, they're all twats.
But you love Austin so much.
Yeah, but the real weird people, they shut the fuck up and stay weird. They stay weird. They don't fucking protest. Yeah. They don't get together and make a Facebook page. Keep Austin Weird. Sign up here if you agree. Thumbs up or thumbs down. What's it going to be?
It's a hipster's world, Joe.
It's not. They're only here because of supermarkets.
Did you ever see the hipster trap?
There would be no hipsters if they had to forage for their own food.
Did you ever see it? It's a bear
trap. Supermarkets, you think?
The hipster trap is a bear trap, and in the middle. All natural. In the middle is like a six pack of PBR, a pack of American Spirit lights, and like Ray-Bans.
Okay,
and it's
now
a bear trap.
They should do the same thing, but with kale and alkalized water.
Veganic. Make sure it's veganic.
And the Goodwill Cowboy. Yeah, I love all those things. P.S. Love me a good thrift store cowboy snap button shirt.
Well, I think the inclination behind being a hipster is good. It's like they want to be above the stupid shit they see every day. That's moronic and pedantic. Is that the word? No.
Well, pedestrian. You know, if you want to get down to brass tacks,
You didn't do it, did you?
I sure did. You know, I'm really trying to embrace my Midwestern roots and just fucking go with it. You know.
It's brass tacks?
No, my brass tack. I'm talking about the accent.
Yeah.
But you're totally right.
You already covered it.
You make me want to get Fargo on Netflix.
But first of all, I'm not that far west. It's more like, oh my God, like, go Browns, you know? It's just like, it's not right. As like, don't you know? It's not
it's
like
more
that.
Eastern.
It's a little less Eastern. Canada, a little more Rochester.
It's a little less disgusting, a little more books.
It's still not sexy. Let's call a spade a spade here.
It's not bad if you can get them out of there. It becomes sexy.
It's like, oh my God, oh my God, Joe, you're so hot.
Big city life.
That's not sexy.
I got tired of teaching ballet. I got to get out of this fucking town. Next thing, she's on the rock and roll tour bus.
Ooh.
Hanging out with her first black guy.
Long-haired.
Woo!
Are you talking about me?
No. I brought it was a sitcom.
I was like, wait, I'm lost. Oh,
listen, boy. We just did 3 fucking hours with a single song, and that's not going to happen. We can't do that. Yeah. So what we're going to do, since you guys are... Look, I know how you think. This is what we're going to do. This is no time for driving.
We don't have to sing. We could just
talk. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take
Pee
a bathroom break.
Yeah.
Exactly. See? And then we'll come back, and we'll do a second podcast where we talk way less shit.
Did we do okay?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Do you think we made a bunch of unfans?
Well, it's 6:45 though, right?
Non-rockers?
I thought we talked about that.
You're right.
Yeah, we got 20 minutes, right? Yeah.
Okay.
We got 20 minutes, but I think it'd be better if we did 2 different podcasts. I think it's cool.
Fair. We should also talk about our tour. We're on tour right now.
We should definitely do that in both podcasts, especially the ones where they get to see how good you guys are.
Oh, God.
It's right now. This is the teaser podcast.
And the new video we just talked about.
We're good.
On the treadmill right now. You fuck. I've been running for 2 hours and 20 minutes. I don't hear you talk.
Oh.
Joe Rogan, make them sing.
Shit. No. Okay, we can do this.
There's nothing bad about this. This is all super positive.
That's good.
So we'll take a little pee break. We're going to take a pee break, and we're going to come back. And we're going to come back with a completely different podcast and a totally mellow vibe. We're going to do what Americans in 2015 called Hug It Out.
Ooh. Oh, shit, I love hugs. We're total.
And we're going to prepare for the next hour. In the next hour, we're just going to have a good time. All right. So this is bonus footage.
I don't know how that's possible.
You fucking monsters. We'll see you soon. All right. Bye-bye.